This is IE America. Bring Iraq. White House spokesman Ari Fleischer today, Iranians and Iraqis. However, he says it's still important to determine their own future. Fleischer also said cooperation from other nations is needed in the new Iraq.
There's more than enough for the international community to do in helping the Iraqis build a better future for themselves. We hope countries seize on the opportunity to make a positive contribution to the Iraqi people.
U.S. officials think Iranian-trained agents have crossed into southern Iraq since Saddam Hussein's government was ousted. They also believe those agents may be instigating trouble in Iraq's extensive Shia Muslim population. President Bush is in Ohio today hoping to promote additional tax cuts. He says those tax cuts would benefit small business owners in America.
Reducing income tax rates is money injected into the small business sector of the American economy, that sector which creates most of the new jobs in America.
The president wants Congress to approve hundreds of billions of dollars in additional tax cuts to stimulate the still struggling economy. However, the Senate and House are still widely split over exactly how much to cut. Secretary of State Colin Powell says talks between North Korea, China, and the United States over North Korea's nuclear programs have ended in Beijing. During a speech earlier today in Washington, D.C., Mr. Powell tried to sidestep international speculation already that those talks did not go very well.
The sides will return to their capitals and assess what they heard, analyze proposals that were put down by the parties, and determine where we will go next.
North Korea's apparent resumption of nuclear weapons programs has raised serious concerns about that possibility around the world. Powell today also reiterated the U.S. position. North Korean nuclear weapons are absolutely unacceptable.
Cheapo.
Penny Pincher.
Coupon Charlie.
Sure, they're just names, but they hurt.
Ouch.
And there's a place that understands. A place called Hotwire.com. We won't call you things like
belt tightener.
Oh, no. Hotwire will race your frugal side with the lowest hotel prices, or we'll give you double the difference. Does that sound like some and cheapskate?
Hotwire.com.
Work faster than Tylenol.
I needed stronger medicine to my headache faster.
I get better relief with
Advil liquid gels to relieve tough headache pain. With liquid medicine inside to rush relief where you need it. Proven faster, stronger, better than Tylenol.
Now every time I get a tough headache, I choose Advil liquid gels.
For better headache relief, advance to Advil.
There is speculation today American Airlines parent company could file for bankruptcy as early as today or tomorrow. Members of AMR Corporation's board are, in fact, meeting today. Financial sources say lawyers are preparing paperwork for a potential Chapter 11 filing after the board's meeting ends. Yesterday, AMR announced a first-quarter loss of over $1 billion. The number of people seeking first-time unemployment claims has risen yet again. Officials say the numbers climbed last week to the highest level in a year. First-time jobless claims are up by 8,000 to 455,000.
So the sun is a-shining, the birds are a-chirping, and the garden is a-calling. One small problem, you're back.
Ow!
It's a-hurting. Can't bend down to dig.
Ooh!
Can't stand up to water.
Ow!
Just can't bear the pain. Better grab a Thermacare. 8 hours of penetrating heat for powerful pain relief and deep muscle relaxation.
Ah!
So you can bend, dig, plant, water, water, and water all you want. No problem. Pick up a Thermacare and wrap yourself in relief.
Looks like a tornado season in the U.S. getting off to a roaring start as an early morning tornado ripped through the central Texas town of Homestead today. Steve Vaughn with the Texas Division of Emergency Management says dozens of people have now been left homeless because of the storm.
We were looking at a report from the county of 150 people displaced. Three actually sought shelter in an American Red Cross shelter last night.
The Johnson County Sheriff's Department says about 40 homes were damaged in the storm. There were, however, only mostly minor injuries from the twister. Two of those injured, however, did have to be airlifted to nearby hospitals. That storm also brought with it, of course, high winds as well as heavy rains for the area near Homestead. And more concern today regarding the mysterious pneumonia spreading around the world. China says another 125 people have contracted SARS. Four more have died. Beijing reporting now more new cases, but eliminating 8 previously confirmed cases of SARS. Two Indonesian women, meanwhile, have been admitted to a hospital in Bahrain after developing symptoms associated with SARS. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute.
They say history repeats itself. World War I, World War II, Rocky I, II, III, IV, and V. But when we come back, I'll share with you some automotive history about a certain bug's life.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas. 10 years ago, I discovered a company with the best fuel injector cleaner, BG Products. Now wait, there's more. To do the job right requires cleaning both the fuel and the air induction systems. The process is called BG Complete Induction System Service. If you want your vehicle to run like new, don't settle for anything less. To find a shop near you to perform this service, go to bgfindtheshop.com. That's bgfindtheshop.com.
A Bug's Life could be the autobiography of the VW Beetle, which made history twice. It was originally named KDF Wagon, aptly meaning strength through joy. This odd-shaped little car, brainchild of Dr. Ferdinand Porsche, was designed with the backing of Adolf Hitler, who announced its birth at a Berlin exhibition in 1938. Out of production for almost 20 years, the VW was reborn in 1998. Its popularity with baby boomers and Gen Xers ensures life long into the 21st century. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us!
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Daring to connect the dots. It's the Peter Werbe Show. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Well, thank you very much. Welcome, everybody. And joined by Jalene Jordan.
Yes.
Okay, good.
I'm here.
Because I'm in Detroit, and you're in Miami. So
it's hard to tell sometimes.
Yeah, we got to get little cameras.
have one, actually.
Do you?
I do. I haven't used it yet, but
wow.
I have one so I could send pictures of my dogs to my mom.
No, I mean like video cameras.
Oh,
so we can see one another, you know.
Yeah.
Which means, I don't mean to be gross, but you can't pick your nose or anything like that. I mean, that's one of
Let's leave radio what it is.
I know. That's one of the advantages of radio, right?
Yeah, and how you dress doesn't matter.
You know, I was going to talk about something. In fact, I wanted to try something, and this could even be a little dangerous. I don't mean to our careers, but I'll tell you in a second. But and I'll talk about this more a little later. Can you believe what they are saying, these people in Washington, that they want they want Iraq to choose any government it wants as long as it isn't the government they don't want? You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
They're saying they can't have like a government like Iran. What if they want a government like Iran?
Yeah, things are going real smooth, aren't they?
Yeah, and they keep saying they don't want Iran intervening in Iraq. Hello? Is that a little bit what the United States is doing, or what?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Here's what I'm going to try. Now, are you sitting down? I mean, I assume you're broadcasting, so you're sitting down.
I am.
All right. Is there any, like, glass objects close to the edge? I mean, I don't know. I'm going to say something. I don't know what's going to happen.
Oh, no. What?
I mean, all right.
I'm okay. I can
all right,
take
the
it.
The rest of you as well. You know, get the kids out of the, you know, where anything could fall on them. All right, I'm going to say this, right? All right. I'm ashamed that George W. Bush is from the United States of America.
next thing you know, you're going to be on it, going nude on the cover of Entertainment Magazine.
I'm giving it all away.
Well,
now, wait a minute. I just want anything happen? Anybody notice any seismic effects? Anything happen? Huh? I mean, anything happen at your house or at your studio, Jalene?
No, everything's calm. Everything's just cool.
Yeah, so the fact that I said that I'm ashamed that George W. Bush is from the United States of America, nothing really happened. I mean, I'm ashamed he's from the world. I'm even ashamed he's from this universe. I mean, think about it. What if some aliens came down and they'd say, well, how do we figure out who is the typical inhabitant? And they'd say, well, let's switch on the conservative news network or something like that. And they'd see this guy always on there and being pretty much worshipped uncritically, right? And no one has ever shown saying anything negative towards him. So they'd say, well, this must be the typical guy. And then they'd start learning what he's been doing and what kind of human being he is. And they'd go, ugh, maybe we ought to just blast this place, you know, kind of fumigate it and move on so this pathogen doesn't spread to another planet or another solar system. I mean,
you had a lot of time to come up with that.
Yeah, I mean, no, I'm coming right up. This isn't written down. I'm just thinking of it. I mean, George W. Bush is the SARS of what? Of humanity.
Oh, my God.
All right. Anyways, what I'm doing is making outrageous statements about an elected official of this country. All right? Well, I know. I'm sorry. Wait a minute, folks. Sorry. Formally, you know, legally, he's been considered elected. I like you, think he seized power in a coup, an illegal selection by his dad's pals. But even all of this, all right, you can say, man, you are so far out, you know, I mean, I can't believe you, you know, whining left-wing, you know, don't even bother to send me the emails, all right, and all that, sore loser, hey, get over it, Pete, that was 2.5 years.
Never.
Right. In any event, the world survives. And it is only these fascists among us that cannot tolerate criticism and get all worked up when anyone has the temerity to say something negative about some political figure they worship.
I mean, all worked up is right.
Yeah. Now, think about that, that they worship, and that they do because they get so extraordinarily bent out of shape when anyone dares to say anything negative about, you know, and this is formally, again, folks, I don't want to have to go through this every time, for an elected official. I mean, you could say about a senator, and of course, we know it's not sauce for the goose and sauce for the gander, because you could say anything you wanted about Bill, I almost said George Clinton, Funkadelics, yeah, Bill Clinton, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And yet now it's changed. Now, you kind of gave it away. The Dixie Chicks, all they said was that they are ashamed that they were that George Bush was from their home state of Texas.
Right. Natalie Maines, the lead singer,
now,
said it.
Now, imagine this. It has the fact that someone did this, the fact that someone dared to criticize or speak disparagingly about our Führer, our leader, right? I'm just a little German. I like to make this, what did Bush call it? Transcontinental. I like to make this show a little transcontinental, right? Intercontinental, that's what he called it.
Intercontinental,
yeah.
That's right.
Those are only ballistics, GW.
Yeah, that's also the name of a hotel that I'm staying at tomorrow night in Miami.
Really? Okay. So, I mean, I'm just trying to make the show a little intercontinental, George.
Okay.
Is that you say something about our Führer and our leader, I'll stick with English, and there's a sector of the population that will go so far, these men, these angry men, that somehow translate this political criticism into something so deeply felt that these men threaten young women. Now, what I'm talking about, of course, is the Dixie Chicks, the country band that made the remark. Natalie Maines, who, as you said, Jolene, said that she was ashamed that George W. Bush was from their home state of Texas. This became elevated into an affair of national prominence.
Oh, yeah.
Is this?
Even international.
Even intercontinental.
Even intercontinental.
Yeah. I mean, think about this, Jolene. Is this Saddam Hussein's Iraq? Where you can't criticize the Führer?
Yeah. And I think what you're leading to is tonight they're going to be on national television, Baba Wawa.
Diane Sawyer.
Oh, Diane right. Sawyer.
Yeah, you just let me know you wanted to say Baba Wawa.
Diane Sawyer. See, that's how little TV I'm watching these things. You should be proud of me.
Oh, yeah, folks, and this is still Turn Off TV Week. You go to my website, Peter Werbe, PeterWerbe.com, WERBE.com, and you can find out all the information about Turn Off TV Week.
Yeah. Now, Diane Sawyer asking the hard questions tonight.
God. I mean, the whole idea, think about this, what this means. I mean, one of the reasons, of course, that we've talked about this before, that people like the Dixie Chicks and everyone else, all our favorite country stars, rock stars, movie stars, everybody in the entertainment industry has taken on such prominence as political critics is because the Democratic Party, I love to say this, that party, remember them, active in the 20th century? they're not saying anything. They're not doing the work that they're supposed to be doing, so it's left to other people. Then it becomes incumbent upon a broad base, popular base. I like this part of it, though. Anti-war movement, as we saw, tens of millions of people saying, George W. Bush, you're lying. There are no weapons of mass destruction. You made it up, and you know you made it up.
Yeah.
You manipulated the people of this country because of the fears that they've had about terrorism, because of the unwarranted connection that you intimated. They didn't even charge that between September 11th and Saddam Hussein.
Now listen, Peter. So we, you know, what a lot of people have gone to nudity.
Yeah.
Or now the Dixie Chicks have gone there.
The Dixie Chicks are nude on the cover of Entertainment Weekly, and they have stuff written all over their bodies. I'm sure it was probably just superimposed. Traitors, brave, hero, proud Americans, Saddam's angels, boycott, yeah. Dixie sluts. I like that. And right on Natalie Maines's, right below her belly button, it says peace.
And above it, it says shut up.
Yeah, and it says shut up. And on her arms, which she has demurely folded over her breasts. So, you know, I mean, oh my God. Do you see where her hand is? Are you looking at this?
Yep, I'm looking at it.
I don't know which the other two are. But doesn't she have her hand right on her breast?
I think that's her own hand. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Do a little hand following.
Yeah, right, you're right. Yeah, she's covering,
So it says, Dixie Chicks come clean.
Yeah,
and
that's,
They're not wimping out as much as we thought they were.
No, now, I don't know if you saw this is very good, too, here's what Natalie Maine said. Asked whether she was truly sorry for her onstage comment. She says, I think it came, she says, it was in a foreign country and it was it was an off-the-cuff statement. I think the way I said it was disrespectful. The wording I used, the way I said it, that was disrespectful. And Diane Sawyer says, I hear something not quite wholehearted? Really? Says Natalie Maines. But down more in this, Emily Robeson, one of the Dixie Chicks, says, Marty and I have family in the military, and it's nothing more than that we want to do than have our troops be safe, successful. You know, we're very patriotic. Diane Sawyer says, but there are those who say to support them is to understand how much they believe in what they're doing, and it does matter to them that you believe in what they're putting their lives on the line for. Hey, Diane Sawyer, what'd you do? Just get cranked up in the Pentagon and sent out?
Yeah, I know. Diane and what's the one? Paula Zahn on CNN.
Yeah.
They all need to get together and get a clue.
And wear uniforms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
now,
sure.
Now, Natalie Maines of the Dixie Chicks says, as passionate as the soldiers are about their cause, I love that about them, but I accept that I am passionate about mine as well. And Diane Sawyer asks Natalie Maines, why did you say it? And she says, out of frustration. At that moment, on the eve of the war, I had a lot of questions that I felt were unanswered. You know, we didn't walk off the stage going, oh, my God, I can't believe I said that. In other words, she was glad that she did. Marty Robeson said, it's not that we don't care. We have to just put in perspective as to what is really important. You know, when you're getting death threats, you know, at our concerts this year, we have to have metal detectors. And to me, that's just crazy. But we have to take those precautions because this thing has gotten so out of control.
Jeez.
Now, think about this. These are the loyal, patriotic citizens. Actually, what they are these submissive citizens of the empire.
Yes.
And when you criticize the emperor, boy, they're angry. So what's different among those people than these those people that go out in countries like Saudi Arabia and what have you to enforce, these laws, they have all these laws and they can't remember what you call them, but they force women particularly. They're really, and they're looking for anybody if you're breaking these prohibitions under Islam. Now, Diane Sawyer says, are you ashamed that the president is from your state? Maines says, no, I'm not truly embarrassed that President Bush is from my state. That's not really what I care about. It was the wrong wording with genuine emotion and questions and concern behind it. Let me see. I felt like there was a lack of compassion every time I saw Bush talking about the war. I honestly felt a lack of compassion, and I realized. Sawyer said, for whom? Now McGuire. What's her first name? I can't remember the names of all of them off the top of my head.
I don't know.
We're not good. Anyways,
well, it's Natalie Maines, Emily Robeson, and Marty Seidel.
No, that's not Seidel. McGuire.
Really?
Yeah, anyways.
Well, I think she got married and changed her name.
Yeah,
so
it's Marty McGuire.
Okay.
I remember now. But Marty McGuire says, lack of compassion for who? For me, for people that are questioning this, for the people that are about to die for this on both sides. And on the war, Natalie Maines says, I just personally felt like, why tomorrow? You know, this was on the eve of the war.
Yeah.
Why not? It's not that I don't ever want you to go over there. It's not that I don't ever want you to clean things up and fix things. It's just, why can't we find the chemical weapons first?
Yeah.
Hello. You know why, Natalie? Because there ain't none. George W. Bush lied about weapons of mass destruction.
WMD, where they be.
Yeah, right. All right, Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan. Isn't this something, though, folks? Your impressions of all this. 1-800-TALK-YES. Peter Werby, Jalene Jordan. Country stars say one sentence, and it's a national issue. What country are we in that we can't criticize their Führer? We'll be right back.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen. We're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Are you wondering how to prosper in our so-called muddle-through economy? Experts say that gold is now the buy of a generation. Hi, I'm Christopher Kent, host of Antique Talk, and I'd like to introduce you to Swiss America, the company that's helping America to rediscover gold. Now, I'm no expert on the economy or on gold, but I am an expert on antiques and collectibles. And Swiss America is the leader in the United States collectible coin market, which has a very impressive track record over the past 30 years. But before you launch out into rare coins, the first step is to get educated. So please, write this number down, 1-800-289-2646, which spells 1-800-BUY-COIN. That's BUYCOIN. Ask for a free copy of The New Gold Rush. It'll help you understand this emerging gold rush so you can stake your claim and tell them Christopher Kent told you to call.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Peter Werby Show. 1-800-TALK-YES. 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Well, thank you very much and welcome back. Jalene Jordan is with me. And we're going to have Dean Baker on in just a few minutes. And Dean Baker is the co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research. And, you know, Jalene, I always think people go,
because we're going to talk about Alan Greenspan. Isn't that exciting?
Well, yeah. Well, here's the deal. I mean, it's pretty sexy to talk about nude Dixie chicks on the cover of Entertainment Weekly and the whole brouhaha about them making one simple statement that they're ashamed that the president of the United States is from the state of Texas.
Yes.
And this is the national issue. If you say, hey, we're going to talk about what is the essential bread and butter, not only for our own families, but for our communities, our states, and for this nation. People want to say, oh, man, let's keep talking about those new Dixie chicks or something like that. So, I mean, maybe I should. Maybe if
hey,
we want
to come back to it.
Yeah, but, well, I'm thinking in terms of programming, maybe we ought to just do stuff that kind of edges on the naughty.
Tried it. We do once in a while, but, you know, every time we do it, people say, come on, come back to us.
Yeah. Hey, there's a story just coming in. Iraqis discover secret dissident files in the file drawers that fill a room after room. Papers spilling out inside, recorded with chilling bureaucratic detail, are the informants' reports, court records, confessions, etc. You know, the United States, in fact, there's a couple of municipalities, I think New York is one of them, and maybe it was Denver, that have again been told that the police do not have the right to keep files on people that don't agree with the government. This happens all over the United States. Every big city, particularly, and almost every state police unit in this country through the 1970s and some onward, had what they called red squads. And these were people that took the units within the police departments that tracked down and made records of people that didn't agree with the government.
So,
hello,
you were there.
Yeah. what?
I mean, you were probably on one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's odd. I got actually my Michigan State Police and Detroit Police Red Squad back, file back. And it's interesting to have the police as your biographers.
I'm sure it's a different version.
Yeah, actually, it's interesting. Most of the stuff that they had in there that was of any consequence or any personal stuff was wrong.
Oh, it was?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't any big stuff. I mean, it wasn't anything I wanted to correct. Like
I was going
to
say, did they make you know?
On a credit file. But they had a lot of informants and people like that. And some of the informants, it almost looked like they purposely gave the cops the wrong information about people.
That would be your friends.
Yeah, right. What do you mean, my friends aren't snitches? You know who was a major snitch? Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan was the president of my union, or which is now going to merge with my union, the Screen Actors Guild. And at the same time, he was thinking on people in his union. I mean, he's really a despicable man.
That doesn't surprise me.
No. I mean, rather than, you know, there's this movement afoot.
What a weenie.
Yeah, there's this movement afoot to put Reagan's face on Mount Rushmore.
Oh, I know.
Rather than that, they ought to tear down everything in America that has Reagan's name on it, beginning with National Airport.
But you know what? I drive on the Ronald Reagan Turnpike every day.
Tear it down.
I know. I look at it. I just shake my head, Peter.
I don't mean tear down the freeway.
The sign.
Just the sign. And there's been some places, you know, these Republicans are such nutballs, and they're like these fascists that rever these figures beyond, you know, in the manner of the, you know, Saddam Hussein. And there's this group that wants to put, a group of Republicans that wants to put have something named after Ronald Reagan every county in America.
Oh, I know. I think about it every time I see that sign. I think, no.
And you know that they have cost the people, the taxpayers of the United States, tens of millions of dollars for having to, when the things are renamed, then they have to, you know, like new signs, and the sign that used to say National Airport off of some other freeway, now I have to say, you know, Ronald Reagan National Airport.
What a waste.
Let's take Reagan or just all that. You're right.
Both. All of that.
Yeah. Here's Ray from Arizona. Ray, it's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK. Yes, you just have a few seconds, unfortunately.
Yeah. Hi, Peter. Hi, Jalene. How are you?
Hi.
Yeah, I just want to talk about this Republican hypocrisy. During the Bosnia War, they were impeaching Clinton, and apparently nobody questions this Republican of being an American and patriotic. I mean, where is the hypocrisy? Where is the outrage?
You know, it's what they can do. It's if you say that, if you bring it up to them, they just kind of look at you blankly. But you're right. They're a pack of hypocrites. Thank you, Ray. Thanks for joining us at 1-800-TALK-YES. Jim Hightower, his moment is coming up. His moment? That's a weird way to put it.
His daily moment.
His daily moment. And then we're going to talk about the economy.
Yo, this is Ed Lover.
This is Dr. Dre.
That's right. We in the mix for Twix, baby. Here's the mix.
Ed, I'm going to tell you right now, all from state to state, it's all about the mix.
You understand? That's how it's going down. Ed Love and Dr. Dre style. Rolling through
through the streets just doing my thing. I need the Twix to keep me in the mix and the swing. When I want to stay real good in the mix,
come on, y'all. Bro, just Twix.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller. Three Chinese labor activists have been detained by the Chinese government as a delegation of U.S. diplomats and journalists tour China investigating the country's increased labor strife. The three were reportedly told to avoid contact with the U.S. delegation or suffer, quote, serious consequences. Meanwhile, two other labor activists remain in a Chinese prison more than 3 months after a state court conducted trials against them for subversion. They still await their verdicts.
28,000 apartment services workers in New York City are mulling over a tentative new contract today. Their union's bargaining team struck a deal in the early morning hours yesterday following talks that stretched past a midnight strike deadline. John Hamill of Service Employees Union, Local 32BJ, says the deal would improve the weekly salaries of workers in each of the contract's 3 years.
The average worker will get an $18 raise in the first year of the contract. That's starting at the 21st of this month. $19 a week in the second year of the contract. $20 a week in the third year of the contract. Combined with the benefits increases in terms of pension, annuities, health fund, etc., it comes to about a $90 a week package for each worker over the course of the 3 years.
The deal also secures a $10 copay for visits to the doctor. Mail-in ballots will allow all 28,000 union members to vote on the deal.
A three-day general strike is underway in Zimbabwe as unions protest the government's tripling of fuel prices. Most businesses in Zimbabwe are closed through tomorrow, but government offices remain open. So far, there has been no state violence, unlike last month's general strike where police randomly beat people both during and after the action. However, state security forces have stepped up patrols in the cities, and four trade union leaders were detained by police just before the strike began yesterday for passing out flyers.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Stephen Sack, and I host the Employees Lawyer Show on IE America Radio Network. We take calls from people all over the United States, and we help them in their job problems. So if you ever wondered what job rights you have and how to fight back, I'm the guy to call.
Listen to Stephen at his new time on Sundays from 9 a.m. until noon and rebroadcast from 9 p.m. till midnight.
For more information on my show or other shows on the IE America Radio Network, go to IEAmericaRadio.com. It's the best advice I can give.
Show 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much. Well, what a coincidence. I didn't even plan that one. Eat the Rich by Crocus. Hey, they're eating us. Seems only fair that we ought to turn the tables on them. Unfortunately, it's not going that way. In just a minute or so, we're going to be talking with Dean Baker from the Center for Economic and Policy Research and see where that... Remember the economy? Remember when we used to think that that was important? Well, now we have the war. It doesn't really matter, does it? Well, I think it will. Interesting story, by the way, in the London Times today. U.S. sees the lights go out, literally, as states scrimp and save. Right now, though, it's time for Jim Hightower on the Peter Werby Show.
You can look at the label on your T-shirt and see where it was made. Just as you can look on a television set or tennis shoe and find whether they were made in, say, the U.S. or China. But where is your hamburger from? Or that catfish filet on the Blue Plate Special? Most American consumers say that they'd like very much to know whether the food that they and their children eat comes from a country that at least pretends to have food safety protections. In our wonderful new global economy, giant agribusiness corporations are abandoning American farmers to produce and process everything from meats to veggies in countries where farmers and fishermen can be treated like serfs, where the water and land can be contaminated at will, and where foodborne diseases are rampant. This is why Congress finally passed a law a couple of years ago to require that food products be labeled by their country of origin. If the beef is from Bulgaria, if the frozen crawfish is from China, hey, tell us about it so we consumers can decide if that's what we want to buy. This is fundamental Adam Smith capitalism. But guess who doesn't believe in it? The corporate capitalists. They went wailing to the Bush administration, claiming that the new labeling law would wreck their bottom lines, stifle global trade, and cause the sky to fall. The Bushites, ever sensitive to corporate cries of pain, put out an Ag Department report claiming that, gosh, telling consumers the origin of their food would cost the industry $2 billion, so the law should be killed. Hogwash. This is an industry that routinely changes its labels and already has well-established computer programs that track every iota of its business operations. Agribusiness lobbyists are screaming about labeling only because the industry fears giving power to us consumers. This is Jim Hightower saying, to stop these agribusiness lobbyists from killing the food labeling law, contact the National Family Farm Coalition at 202-543-5675.
Jim Hightower, a regular feature right here, 2:33 Eastern Time on the Peter Werbe Show. You can go to jimhightower.com for a lot more. And let's welcome Dean Baker. Dean Baker's been on this show any number of times before, making sense of a crazy economy. Dean Baker is co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research. Dean Baker, do you think we're going to start getting back to looking at what this economy is all about now that the war, at least the fighting phase, is over? Let me see here. Don't hear you one little bit. I see what's going on. Hold on. All right, there you are, Dean Baker. You're on the air.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you for a moment.
Yeah, go ahead. You didn't hear my question. I said that now the fighting phase of the invasion and occupation is over. Do you think people will start focusing or refocusing on the economy?
Well, they certainly should. We have an awful lot of economic problems. The Federal Reserve Board comes out with a beige book report from its regional banks every 6 weeks, and it just came out yesterday. And I was sort of struck because I don't know if I've ever seen it be so pessimistic. I mean, these are usually fairly optimistic folks, and, you know, they're reporting from 12 regional banks located around the country, and they just said things were bad and worse, and, you know, no real good hope of turning around anytime soon. And, you know, as we know, we already have 6% unemployment, and, you know, it looks very likely to go higher in the not-too-distant future to me. So, yeah, I think we should be focused on the economy.
There's a fellow across the street from me where I live and who's a painter, you know, kind of a high-end house painter. And I said, you've been home a lot recently. He said, man, there's nothing happening. He says, I could just hang out at the bar with tradesmen. In some ways you don't even realize it. You see these gross figures, but then when you start talking to people in your neighborhood, it becomes a little more real. And I know I'm holding back, for instance. I don't know where this is all going. We were going to do, like typical suburbanites do, or, you know, do something on our kitchen. And my wife said, why don't we hold off a little bit, see what's going on? And is it sort of like this snowball effect?
Well, you have a lot of people that, you know, they're worried about their situation. They've seen friends, relatives laid off. And, you know, you look around the economy, there aren't too many places where you could be very confident about your future. I mean, you know, an industry like the airline industry, you know, employs, you know, 1.5 million people. Who could be confident in their future there? State and local governments, we all know about the huge budget crunches they're facing. So, you know, that's, you know, 20 million employees, you know, an awful lot of whom are, I'm sure, very worried about their jobs right now. Manufacturing, you know, it's lost 2 million jobs in the last few years, and it's still losing jobs. You know, you go down the list of places, and, you know, you're pretty hard-pressed to find, you know, where would you be securing your job right now?
Now, Dean Baker, Alan Greenspan has been reappointed as chair of the Federal Reserve Board. And
that's where you'd be securing your job.
Yeah. Well, all during the 90s, people said, this man is a genius. Look at the levels of profit and the, you know, how the economy's doing. And yet you say reappointing Greenspan is like inviting the captain of the Titanic back for a second round. Why is this a bad idea?
Well, you know, I have a mixed view of Greenspan. He did do some things right, and one thing I give him credit for was he let the unemployment rate fall to 4%. There are a lot of central bankers would have, you know, tightened the screws, you know, raised interest rates, wouldn't have let that happen. But the other thing he did in his tenure was he let the stock market bubble grow. I mean, he was sitting there and, you know, it was very clear, at least to some of us, this is in hindsight, I was saying this back in 97, 98, 99, you know, here's a bubble, it's out of control, it's going to break, and it's going to hurt. And Greenspan, first and foremost, was the person who should have been doing something about it, and he just looked and said, fine. And, you know, right now, the reason, the immediate reason why we're in this downturn is because of the collapse of the bubble. We lost a lot of investment. People lost $8 trillion in stock wealth, and it's going to take a while to recover from that. And, you know, that's a real big mistake. And, you know, to, you just turn around and go, oh, of course, keep serving, you know, go there forever. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Now, I don't know if it was after I spoke to you. I was looking at this quote here from you, Dean Baker, in March of 2000. Now, I wasn't doing the show then, but when the NASDAQ had more than three times what it was more than three times what it is today, and you argued that the stock market bubble was due to burst. Now, there is this guy, I hope he's not listening. Actually, he's on vacation. My tax attorney, and he kept saying, take all your 401k, put it all in tech stocks, high risk, you know, we're making a fortune. And I said, but Richard, I hope he's not listening. I said, Richard, none of these companies are making profits. I said, this is all just, I don't think I used the word bubble. I said, this is all just a house of cards. No, no, no. How come I knew this, and I know nothing about the stock market or anything like that, and you knew this, and these other people didn't? Or did they?
I think it was willful ignorance because, you know, I don't have any black magic. I was looking at the profit figures. I was looking at, you know, projections. For the people who would tell me, you know, this all made sense, they'd go, write down on paper, how much do you think profits will grow over the next 5 years, 10 years? Give me your horizon. No one could because the numbers would be ridiculous, you know. So, you know, anyone could have, should have known. And I think it really was just a case you had people running around celebrating it and not wanting to look at what was right in front of them. And, you know, it's unfortunate when it happens to a few people. Those people get burned, and, you know, it's bad news for them. But in this case, you know, we all got burned, even, you know, even those of us who didn't have money there. You could still lose your job. You know, you had a lot of people working in telecommunications, tech sector, different areas. They weren't necessarily speculating in the market. They were just doing a day's work. And, you know, when the industry goes down, they went down with it.
Mm-hmm. Now, what happens when there's lots of people like me? Here's what my wife and I have done, because we understand nothing about this. Everything in my 401k I've put in the most conservative stocks possible. And in all the excess money, which isn't a tremendous amount, but still something that, you know, we would not like to risk, we've simply put in a low-interest-bearing savings account. I mean, what's the aggregate function of all that, or how does that have, what impact does that have on the overall economy when people like she and I are becoming extraordinarily conservative?
Well, it does make it harder for, you know, new startups to come into being. So, you know, if you had someone who had a good idea and, you know, looking for startup money, you know, what we heard so much about in 98, 99, 2000, all these, you know, tech companies, you know, it makes it much harder when you don't have the money available for them to grow. Now, that's unfortunate, but I guess I'm not that worried about it in the sense that, you know, there are good companies that we do want to be able to get that money, but I think most of them probably can convince someone. You know, they have to sit down and sit across, you know, skeptical investment banker and really make their case, but that's probably a good thing. You know, we don't want every 20-year-old who thinks they've got a brilliant idea and has no idea what they're doing to just run up and get $1 billion on Wall Street. That was a really bad thing. That's what happened in the, you know, at the end of the 90s, and that wasn't good. A lot of money was thrown down the drain that way.
George W. Bush is in North Canton, Ohio, trying to sell this $500 billion in new tax cuts, and he derided the people that have, only want half of that, right, as just wanting a little bitty tax relief package. On the face of it, we were talking about common sense. I could look at a tax attorney and tell him that all these stocks to me looked overvalued. In the same way, it seems when you've spent tens of billions, may have to wind up spending hundreds of billions of dollars on a war, an occupation, and the guy who's in charge of all this wants to cut taxes. Doesn't seem to make a bit of sense on the face of it.
Well, let me go a step further. He doesn't want to just cut taxes. He wants to cut taxes for rich people. The vast majority of us will see little or nothing from his tax break. And, you know, he's just saying, look, here are my rich buddies. If I can't give them, you know, at least $550 billion, the economy is going to be in the tank, and then he's going to blame everyone who opposes the tax cut. I mean, this is ludicrous. It's like saying, you know, if they don't pass this tax cut, then we're responsible for SARS. his own, the Congressional Budget Office, I don't want to get people bored in the details, but the Congressional Budget Office, which is usually thought to be pretty independent, and I think generally is, has a new head who is a former Bush administration economist, very conservative supply-side economist. They just looked at President Bush's tax cut. They did a whole series of analyses, and they found out that almost every single case, it actually slows the economy.
Hmm. Now,
so this idea that, you know, if we don't have this big tax cut, we aren't going to see growth, you can't even tell the story. His own guy couldn't even tell the story. So this is just saying, I'm President George W. Bush. I defeated Saddam Hussein. Give this tax cut to my rich friends. That's what he's saying. End of story.
Well, yeah, except that in a sense, it's a story that doesn't make a lot of sense because his friends are already are extraordinarily wealthy, that have more wealth than they can actually spend, they also have all the money they need to be at the command centers of this society. So it's not like getting more money is going to do anything for them, and they must be at least somewhat sympathetic to the criticisms within, from conservatives like you indicated, that this is going to be awful for the economy.
Well, I think you have some people that have, you know, look at Bill Gates' dad, who's, you know, obviously a tremendously wealthy man. He's gone around the country saying, you know, look, it's, you know, he could live with the estate tax. You know, when people are that rich, they could afford to pay a little tax when, you know, when they die. Their kids don't need, you know, endless billions of dollars. But, you know, I think, you know, you look at some of these people, you know, look at someone like Ken Lay at Enron or Evers at WorldCom. Even after they had hundreds of millions of dollars, why do they feel a need to steal tens of millions of more? You know, I don't understand it. I mean, you know, you or I, we're never going to see that sort of money. It wouldn't occur to us. You know, if you had $100 million, what do you need another $5 million for?
Yeah.
But, you know, there's this logic. If I can get more, I'm going to get it.
Sort of a psychopathology, maybe. But back in the real world, where people have to figure out what's going to happen in the months and years ahead, what politically, what's being done to reverse this, to bring some sense back to the economy?
Well, unfortunately, very little. I mean, the Democrats have become, you know, both coward and corrupt. You know, they're looking to raise, you know, if you look at the presidential candidates, all of them are looking to raise, you know, $30-40 million. They're not going to raise that from, you know, people like you or I and give them $50 or $100 maybe. They're looking to get these people, raise them $10,000, $20,000, $100,000. So they're very hesitant. You know, you'll get some of them say critical things to the tax cuts, but the vast majority, they're going to these same people for their campaign contributions. You know, one I will mention, Dennis Kucinich, who I think is a very honest guy, a good guy, probably doesn't have much chance of getting the nomination. But, you know, he will and has openly criticized this as class warfare of the rich. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, but the Democrats have a very hard time making that case because they're getting their campaign contributions from the same people.
Dean Baker's my guest. He's co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research. I'm Peter Werby, and let's take a call from you. Here's Kurt from Ohio, George W. Bush, just there trying to sell the tax cut. What do you think, Kurt?
Oh, yeah, I just got done watching him on CNN.
Yeah?
What a guy.
Well, I note a hint of sarcasm.
Oh, my God. It's, 3% unemployment's gone up in this state since this guy took an office. 167,800 jobs, I believe, lost since he's been in there.
This is in Ohio?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in Canton and Lyman, I think he was down in Dayton, too, at Wright Pat, shaking all the military's hands. It's revolting. I wonder what your fellow thinks about Lyndon LaRouche's ideas on how to handle this economy.
All right, let's give him a shot at it. Thank you, Kurt, for calling into 1-800-TALK-YES. It's funny, that name's come up twice in 2 days. Lyndon LaRouche, an odd figure in American politics, to be sure.
Yeah, I have to confess, I'm not a big fan of Lyndon LaRouche. You know, in the past, he said some racist, anti-Semitic things. I, to be honest, I really don't know what he's saying on the economy these
yeah.
days.
And also, I wonder if he's still saying that that there's a conspiracy against the United States government led by the Queen of England. He was saying that a few years ago, so
yeah,
I don't see much there. Well, I want to thank you so much for being with us. And actually, everything you've said, Dean Baker, is pretty discouraging, not only that the direction of the economy economy, but yet we don't have a viable force, a movement to address these problems. And, you know, there's an article that I've been meaning to bring up for days to the audience here, and it says, anti-war movement tries to find a meaningful message. You see that in the Times the other day?
Yeah.
And I was thinking, yeah, how about a peace and social justice movement? I mean, just transferring these same people, which I'm sure have those same concerns, and making this a movement for economic justice here.
Well, we need something like that, but let me just give you a little bit of optimism. I mean, the fact that you had an anti-war movement build as quickly as you did without any real political leadership, I mean, it grew up from the grassroots, and it's because of the Internet, and, you know, because they weren't getting that from the media, you know, and the fact that you had, you know, hundreds of thousands, perhaps over a million people protesting in the street over the course of, you know, 2 or 3 months, that was very, very impressive. And, you know, the people now have a tool to organize. They know that they can't count on the media to give them the whole story. And, you know, that to me, that's tremendously encouraging.
I absolutely agree. Dean Baker, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks a lot for having me on.
If you want to see more of the Center for Economic and Policy Research, it's on my website also. It's cepr.net. Thanks again, Dean.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. All right, we'll be right back to get your calls. If you're on hold, please stay there, and we'll get you after our break. Celine Jordan will join me. I'm Peter Werby. 1-800-TALK-YES. Man, the economy.
And we're playing all your favorites, but right now I have a pair of free tickets to tonight's big concert for the third caller. Oh, let's go to the phone lines. They are heating up, and let's see. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Ms. Shannon Johnson?
Yes.
Oh, you sound very excited.
I am.
Well, Ms. Johnson, I have good news.
I'm the third caller.
No. I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man. I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Hi, this is Peter Werby from the IE America Radio Network, wondering whether you've heard about In These Times magazine, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture, has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. Find out what you're missing. Visit them online at www.inthesetimes.com or call them toll-free at 1-800-827-0270.
I am driven.
We have our winner.
To overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
Doug Stephens, good day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on.
Hi,
truth seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. If you've been suffering from withdrawal because you can't find The Malloy Show, I've got the cure. Just remember this phrase, MM 9 p.m. That's right. Mike Malloy can now be heard weeknights from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. So turn off the reruns on TV and tune in to Mike for your nightly three-hour bedtime story. MM 9 p.m. Pleasant dreams. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
In the dark south, in you and I, count the hours until the light. If our moon shine bright, though we're bright, it's American night. We got guns and bombs and man-made disease.
The Peter Werby Show, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937.
Thanks a lot. Welcome back. Empire Moon right there. Jalene Jordan is with me. You know, I think I'm going to get rid of that. I don't think you understand the words very well to that.
No, that's one of them. Yeah. You can't.
Yeah.
We were talking about those.
It's sort of an Elvis Presley-ish kind of... I mean, it's a good song. I like it. It's got good words, but you got to be able to understand it.
It's important in radio.
Did I read this letter before? I've looked at it so many times. It's worth reading again if I haven't. It's from Joe. Joe writes into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Is it true that when Jesus returns, he will put a retired U.S. general in charge of running the world so that he and G.W. Bush can spend more quality time together throwing unconverted Jews and Muslims into the lake of fire and playing golf?
Oh, my.
I don't think I did read it.
No, I've not. That's the first time I've heard it.
I like that, though. Here's Peter in Santa Fe listening to KTRC. Hi, Peter. It's Peter. Angeline.
Hi. Hi, Peter. How are y'all doing today?
Doing good.
Good.
Good. I just wanted to share something with you. I was stuck in a little construction traffic jam on Sirius Road heading south.
Okay.
I got to describe the car that was next to me. I really got a good kick out of it. There was a woman driving. She was in her late 70s, and her front license plate said retired United States Marine. Her license plate in the back was a veteran's plate, combat wounded with Purple Heart, and she had several bumper stickers, and then three of them, I just wanted to tell you what they were because they were kind of nice. One of them said, Ken Lay got the surplus.
Okay. Yeah.
The other one said, vote Republican. It's easier than thinking.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And the third one, there was a couple more, but the third one that I really liked was, what did it say? It said, which is worse, screwing an intern or screwing the country?
All right.
Wow. She must be a listener of the Peter Werby Show.
I tell you. And then this was a construction kind of like traffic jam. So the vehicle, I was beside her, and the vehicle behind her, she backed up a little bit to read it. And I gave the lady behind her a thumbs up, and she gave me a thumbs up. And everybody got a kick out of it. But the driver of the vehicle, she had to have been in her late 70s. Maybe she was a widow, because maybe her husband was a former Marine. Maybe she was, too.
Maybe she was.
I don't know.
Maybe she was just, charging up the hill at Iwo Jima or something like that. Hey, Peter, thank you so much for joining us. We're out of time for this segment. A couple more hours to go. Remember, new hours here. 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the Peter Werby Show. Mike Malloy, 9 p.m. till midnight, if you're wondering where he is. All right, hang on. We'll be right back. Dixie Chicks, showing it all. We'll talk more about that and a little about Iraq as well.
You've been listening to the Peter Werby Show on the IE America Radio Network, copyright 2003.
The Peter Werby
Worby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Worby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Erica Kane. An unknown number of U.S. soldiers are being questioned about the alleged theft of part of a $650 million cash discovery made inside a Baghdad palace. Another soldier is suspected of trying to ship two gold-plated AK-47s to the U.S. Officials also say at least three members of the media are suspected of smuggling items that belong to the Iraqi people. A Navy pilot missing since the start of the 1991 Gulf War may have left clues about his whereabouts after being shot down behind enemy lines. NBC News reports a U.S. search team has found Scott Spiker's initials scratched into the wall of a Baghdad prison cell. Secretary of State Colin Powell says talks with North Korea and China over the North's nuclear programs have ended in Beijing. During a speech in Washington, Powell put a diplomatic spin on international speculation that the talks have not gone well.
The sides will return to their capitals and assess what they heard, analyze proposals that were put down by the parties, and determine where we will go next.
Powell reiterated the U.S. position that North Korean nukes are absolutely unacceptable. A 14-year-old student in York County, Pennsylvania, fatally shot his junior high school principal before turning the gun on himself this morning. This unidentified student witnessed the shooting in the school cafeteria.
He just stands up and shoots the principal, like, out of nowhere, and, like, everyone's silent, and then, like, we hear the principal give out, like, this really loud moan, and everyone's scared, and it's, like, pandemonium, and we're all running all over the place, and it's just horrible. And then, like, I turned around, and, like, I saw him shoot himself in the head and fall to the ground.
York County officials say the teen was armed with several handguns. There's no word on any animosity between the shooter and the principal. More in a moment.
Let's read this one.
My favorite!
You want me to read her bedtime story? You have a bad headache.
Yeah, but I can't let it ruin our story time.
The moment of choice. Which will work better on your headache? Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, you'll feel better faster with Advil Liquid Gels. These advanced liquid-filled capsules rush relief where you need it. They're proven to work faster, stronger, better than Tylenol on tough pain.
Good night, big girl.
Good night, big guy.
For better headache relief, advance to Advil.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
President Bush wants Congress to approve billions of dollars in new tax cuts.
Some in Congress say the plan is too big. Well, it seems like to me they might have some explaining to do. If they agree that tax relief creates jobs, then why are they for a little bitty tax relief package?
The Senate wants cuts limited to $350 billion. The House approved a $550 billion tax cut. The president agreed to the House figure after first seeking more than $700 billion in cuts. More after this.
Do you love your car or truck? Like gaze into its headlights, worship the ground it rolls on kind of love? Then take it to an independent service center that installs premium AC Delco automotive parts. No matter what you drive, your loved one will be given the expert care it deserves. And since April is National Car Care Month, the timing is perfect. Check out acdelco.com for an independent service center near you. Because you want your love to last forever. Or 200,000 miles, whichever comes first. AC Delco, when the right way is the only way.
A Pennsylvania senator is under fire for recent remarks about homosexuals.
Rita Edessa, head of the Lesbian and Gay Task Force in Philadelphia, says the comments made by Senator Rick Santorum are nothing more than the words of a bigot.
His commentary is no different from the racism of Senator Trent Lott.
Edessa says there should be equal rights legislation passed on both the state and federal level for all people. Tom McDonald, Philadelphia.
Racing legend Mario Andretti was not injured after crashing in his first run at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway in 8 years. Andretti's car flipped end over end several times and almost reached the top of a 22-foot catch fence after hitting debris from a previous wreck.
The man upstairs has been taking care of me for so many years. I can't see him giving up now.
The 63-year-old was making a practice run for a possible shot at next month's Indy 500. If he qualifies, he would become the oldest driver in history to make the race. I'm Erica Kane, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. No hitters, mid-court shots, and quarterback blitzes all make for a doozy of a game. But did you know doozy originates not in the world of sports, but in the world of automobiles? When I come back, I'll tell you all about it.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halfsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about sumsies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
When something's a real doozy, it's spectacular, larger than life. Just like the car that coined the expression. In the 1920s, the classic Model J Duesenberg, with its long ornamental hood and speed of 125 miles an hour, was considered a standard of excellence. Its name, Duesenberg, was shortened to doozy to describe anything top-notch. The stock market crash of 29 took the high-priced luxury car off the assembly line, but the expression has survived. Now, I hope you have a doozy of a day. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome to the Peter Werby Show, where we dare to connect the dots. Call now at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thank you very much, and welcome, everybody. Jalene Jordan is with me. Hi, Jalene.
Hi, Peter.
And the Mike Malloy Show, remember, 9 p.m. till midnight on the IE America Radio Network.
I hope he's giving us as much publicity as we're giving him.
Well, the only reason I give him so much publicity, I mean, although I would do it in any event, I think he's one of the premier broadcasters in America. I really mean that, by the way.
Yep. Yeah.
Is that people expect to hear Mike Malloy right now.
Right now, yeah,
that's true. We've only been doing this new schedule of the Peter Werby Show 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern since this Monday. Can you imagine somebody who was on vacation or they just didn't have a chance? They go, okay, let's tune in Mike. And suddenly they go, ah. And Mike, you know, is so in your face, it'd be easy for anyone to make the assumption that he's gotten kicked off or that he's been put in this late-night ghetto or something like that. Mike wants the broadcast at that time, so that's where he is. If you don't believe me, email him or go to his website, MikeMalloy.com, or listen, better yet,
listen and call later tonight.
I have so many things in front of me, it's actually producing a mild amount of anxiety.
Oh, no.
Name a subject, any subject.
Well, we already talked about the economy.
Okay. Let me just say about the economy. The idea that Bush is trying to get this full $500 billion tax cut is just amazing. In fact, he initially talked about cutting these taxes in half on dividends.
Yeah.
That would mostly benefit the rich. Right. And then he thought, I got an idea. Let's ask for all of them be eliminated, and then we'll settle for half.
Yeah, and he calls it just a little itty-bitty tax relief.
Yeah, well, no, he's saying that the people that only want to make it half, that's itty-bitty. He wants the whole big thing because tax cuts create jobs. I mean, this is insanity. And that's what I was asking Dean Baker, our guest last hour. It's hard to believe that the people in his administration believe that. I don't know what is driving it. Part of it is they do want to shut off the funding of the federal government for absolutely everything except for the military. So
yeah.
they want to privatize everything that we have taken for granted over the last maybe 150 years, including public education, being funded by the state. And right now the states are at a point, if you can imagine this, that I think, let me see if I still have this, that in one state, and it might even been Ohio, that they're actually turning off every third light bulb.
Really?
I know. Sometimes you think I'm kidding, right? So... Oh yeah, now here. U.S. sees the light. U.S. sees the lights go out as states scrimp and save. Now this is Missouri. In Missouri, they are unscrewing every third light bulb. Prisons in Illinois are splitting prescription drugs for inmates in half. The governor of South Carolina is urging others to follow his practice of reusing Post-it notes and recycling paper clips.
Wow.
I mean, that's the level that the economy's at. This is the level that the states are at. And
yeah,
this
really
is because are these the money that should have come to finance our communities, our states, has gone into this rat hole of the military for these foreign adventures, for an illegal war, for this invasion and occupation, this illegal occupation of Iraq, to set up an empire of oil. Now, we're told, though, by Darth Rumsfeld, that the Iraqis can set up any single government they want, as long as it's not one that is disliked by Darth Rumsfeld, like a Islamic government. Iran now is saying, hey, what are you giving us a hard time about? What you should be doing is allowing the United Nations to run an interim government in that country, because it gives every single impression of what? Of looking exactly what it is, a U.S. invasion and occupation and the setting up of a puppet regime that will be sympathetic to U.S. military needs and also corporate oil.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Just as they planned.
Now, those Dixie chicks, completely naked, man.
Those wild girls.
Yeah, you were right. I mean, I looked at this and I thought, boy, this is weird. This is on the cover of Entertainment Weekly. And the Dixie Chicks, they're the ones that said, or at least Natalie Maines, the lead singer, said that she was ashamed that George W. Bush was from Texas. And she backpedaled a little teeny bit, but not really. And if this interview that's going to be with Diane Sawyer tonight, where the three chicks, if you will, are speaking their mind, and they pretty much are saying, listen, we don't think that George W. Bush has any compassion. They said that very directly. They're saying that there was a lot of unanswered questions on the eve of war. Like, why was it necessary to go to war when the inspectors that were looking for these weapons of mass destruction were perfectly satisfied with the direction of things?
Yeah,
well, it's
absolutely.
Pretty... Well, Bush knew that they were going to find nothing.
Yeah, and now Hans Blix is the bad guy.
Yeah, he's the bad guy. Blix says, they undermined me.
You know, and Scott Ritter spoke out against them, who was a former UN weapons inspector.
Right.
And he's the bad guy, too. I mean, none of these guys can win. No one can win but G.W. Bush and his administration.
Now, the Dixie Chicks, completely naked with their arms and hands.
Back to that.
Yeah, strategically placed. You know what they're saying? They're saying, hey, all you conservatives, all you people that said we should crush their CDs and what have you, in fact, did, he's like, up yours. I mean, think about how your typical right-wing conservative will look at this nudity. I mean, on one hand, they love it, right? You know, on the other hand, they hate it because they're so conflicted because of this, these dizzying, competing senses in their mind. I mean, they want to be controlled by authority. The authority they're controlled by says, naughty, naughty. On the other hand, they want to be naughty. Right?
Yes.
If you're a liberal, you can be naughty and not feel any guilt about it. But if you're a conservative, right-wing Christian Republican, you're really conflicted. I want to do it. No, I can't do it. No. And those poor guys. Here's what Max in Leesburg, Virginia says. He calls it Dixie Women, W-O-M-Y-N. That's an alternate spelling by some feminists who don't even want M-E-N in the word women.
Yeah, my whole group of friends does that. In fact, I spell it that way, except on our website.
Good. Thank you.
Yes.
First, he says, I want to be respectful. I want to be respectful, so Dixie Chick should be referred to as Dixie Women. He's not going in a good place, though.
Okay. Well.
Also, who is saying that they can't say what anything? No one on the right is trying to shut them up. Oh, let me finish. Can you believe he's saying this? And they have a right to say what they want. Well, thank you. That contradicts the first sentence there. They don't have a right to be heard, and we have a right to not patronize their products. Well, of course. But when you start having organized campaign that emanate right out of the White House, because that's what is coming out of these fascistic people that run our government. Anybody who dares to cross us, anybody that even dares to say on a London stage, I'm ashamed that George W. Bush is from Texas.
Yeah. Can you imagine the roars to that statement of joy in London?
Yeah. Now, who organized this campaign of crushing their CDs and what
happened?
Tell me. Was it Clear Channel? No. Was that other? It was another radio.
Infinity, wasn't it?
One of those. So what it was this big corporate media group that has ties into the Bush administration and knows that they can gain favor with the, sort of the rabid end of their listenership and also curry favor with the Bush White House. And they always have all this legislation that could benefit them. That's why they give tens of millions of dollars to the Republicans.
Yeah, all these FCC rules and the weakening of them.
So you are absolutely wrong, Max. The right is trying to shut them up, and the right tries to shut up everybody that disagrees. It's a fascistic movement, a fascist movement. It's like Saddam Hussein.
And what do they say on there? Saddam's angels.
Bodies. They have all this stuff like Saddam's angels, then traitors. But then they say proud Americans, boycott. And it looks like one of them has their hand on the breast of the other. But you've corrected me.
But that was only in your dreams.
What?
Sorry.
It looks. Can you see where it looks like that? Are you looking at it?
I followed the hands. I followed the arms, Peter.
Hmm. Okay. And, talk about this is strategically placed stuff. I mean, look at the one where it says Dixie Sluts, her elbow, where it's strategically placed. Should we move on?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going with you on this.
Okay. No, I think
everyone can check it out. It's online.
It's online, right.
It's just at Yahoo, even. You
know? And it's at MSNBC as well. Here's Jim in Santa Fe listening to KTRC. Jim, it's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome. Hi,
Peter. You've said it again. You said something about these people being conflicted, and once again, I think you got this psychological insight on conservatives, and that you should write a book about them.
Peter, when are you going to write?
It's already been written 100 times.
Yeah, well, that's true. I do think you have this insight. I wonder. You tell people not to send you these emails that you're getting elsewhere, but did you see Norman Mailer's speech to the Commonwealth Club?
No, I didn't.
It's the longest email I ever got. I'm only halfway through it, but it's got his trademark insight into everything, and he's talking about Bush going ahead, connecting Iraq and 9/11 without having any evidence. He says he does this with all the power of a man who has never been embarrassed by himself, which really kind of describes him. I just wanted to ask you one thing. When you talk about the article you've been reading about states having to cut back because of having no money, I don't remember. What did you say the source of that article was?
This was the London Times.
Well, I was going to. I thought it came from somewhere in the U.S. mainstream press, and there probably have been articles about that, although I haven't seen them. And I was thinking that if an article like that also had a paragraph that said, by the way, the military is spending X amount, and it's increased by X amount, which would obviously be relevant to the whole point.
Sure.
They would probably get slammed by 100 letter writers saying, well, what's your problem? And are you anti-Bush? Are you pro-liberal. I mean, I think that's how far things have come. You couldn't even make a connection like that in the mainstream press.
Well, it is interesting that to get something that I find satisfactory enough to explain the whole situation that our states have tumbled into, that you have to go to a foreign paper. By the way, the London Times supports the Conservative Party in London and supported the British involvement in the Iraq War. So it's not like, it's not like they're, you know, some way rad paper or something like that.
Well, if this article, if such an article as you're talking about, did not appear in the American press, USA Today or something, why not? I mean, isn't that news?
Yeah, I think that it certainly is. There are some papers now that are beginning to express a little bit of journalistic integrity because people are going to start getting back to reality. The oxygen that we've been kind of hyperventilating on is getting a little thin. I mean, in other words, the war is over. By the way, I don't have secret sources, Jim, and in fact, increasingly, I've been going to less and less sites instead of more and more. And this one just came off of Common Dreams, if you have access to the Internet. It's commondreams.org.
The article you're talking about?
Yeah, it's right up there. Roland Watson in Washington, and so they have correspondents that look at things. And it's called The Big Turnoff in Missouri, which has dimmed electric lights by a third in most government buildings, and he says is typical of the desperate scramble to save pennies. In Kentucky, every other ceiling light has been turned off in the state capitol.
Well, again, this article I'm reading, which I can send you if you want, by Norman Mailer, he's got a sort of a psychological insight on everything. By the way, it's at CommonwealthClub.org.
I'll go there. I wasn't trying to discourage people from sending me. See, that I don't know. I was saying if people send me material to calltalkyes@yahoo.com from Common Dreams and from BuzzFlash and the New York Times and Yahoo, those are the ones I read every day at a minimum. So people very frequently turn me on to things like you just did, Jim. So, yeah, I'd like, in fact, why don't you just send me the URL, the address of it, and I'll open it myself. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it. Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan, we're at 1-800-TALK-YES. One of the things we have on from those sites is George W. Bush's resume. I'll tell you about that when we come back.
You love your car. You park it at the far end of the lot. You've got a special name for it. And you take it to an independent service center that installs premium AC Delco automotive parts. No matter what you drive, your loved one will be treated to the expert care it deserves. And since April is National Car Care Month, there's never been a more perfect time to pamper it. Go to acdelco.com to find an independent service center near you. It's the least you can do for a car named the Beige Bomber. AC Delco, when the right way is the only way.
All right, folks, while we have a minute, let's go up to the chopper with Brad Paul, get a traffic update. Brad, what do you see up there?
Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Nothing you're going to want to hear about, unfortunately. You can expect major delays on the interstate. An overturned tractor trailer's got traffic backed up for about 25 miles. It's a real bad situation, Scott, but I do have good news.
What's that, Brad?
I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
Where will you be the next time your allergy strikes? Inside? Outside? In your car? Now you can take non-drowsy allergy medicine right when you need it. Announcing Quick Dissolving Allivert. It starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue without water. Allivert is prescription strength, non-drowsy, 24-hour relief. Even Claritin can't beat. New Quick Dissolving Allivert. Allergy medicine right when you need it? Wherever you are. Use as directed.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
What country are we living in? This is the question I was asked as I waited for a connecting plane at the Dallas-Fort Worth airport recently. This Homeland Security stuff has just gotten insane. It's BS, the fellow said to me. He was no long-haired student, no ACLU professor, or any of the other stereotypes that the media and politicians draw of those of us who dare protest the usurpation of our liberties by the flag-waving autocrats of Bush, Cheney, Ashcroft, Rumsfeld, Incorporated. This fellow was an airline pilot, A 50-something former military man who considers himself a conservative and, though I didn't ask, quite likely is Republican. We had just gone through a security incident at the airport. I'd been on an arriving plane, but my plane and dozens of others had not been allowed to taxi to our gates. It seems that someone inside the terminal had gone through a wrong door, stumbling into a secured area, setting off alarms and triggering a knee-jerk security response that included making everyone evacuate three terminals. Was this guy some slogan-spouting, bomb-toting, maniacal terrorist? No. Apparently it was just a passenger who got confused. But under the insanity of our brave new Bush world, the most innocent of people are treated as criminal, and the most innocent of acts produces a code red rush of police state tactics. My new pilot friend was right. This is not America. Our society is being militarized, our public budgets drained, our privacy stripped, and our fundamental right of dissent assaulted by a bloated and menacing security bureaucracy that does nothing to make us safer from Osama bin Laden, wherever he is. How repressive is our society becoming? The pilot said he can't talk within his company because the higher-ups have made it a firing offense to question what's happening to our liberties. This is Jim Hightower saying, if you're not alarmed by the internal assault on our true Americanism, you're not paying attention. Liberty is fragile. Use it or lose it.
We're back. It's the Peter Werby Show. Call Peter at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thanks a lot, Jalene Jordan. Welcome back to you as well.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to tell people, I keep meaning to do this, I just got some email at calltalkyes@yahoo.com from, I wonder if I should even say this. Well, I will, from Night Call. Night Call is a show I host Sunday nights on WRIF in Detroit. It's 131K. That means that someone has stolen the identity of that address of mine and has sent it back to me with a virus in it. So naturally, I didn't open it and just discarded it. I want to tell you, if any of you ever get an unsolicited email from me, it's a forgery. Even if it's something you agree with, and particularly,
yeah, 'cause it's happened.
Yeah, it has happened. If it says like Peter Werby or IE America, particularly look for that figure, 131K. I don't even open anything over 20 or 25. So if you're sending me anything that big, I'm probably just deleting it to begin with, unless I see it's an attachment. Sometimes I don't open attachments. It depends whether I know you or not. You got to do this to be safe. I'm kind of sorry to say this. But this says Night Call, and it says a special new website, 131K. So someone was able to snatch my address from this Detroit show and attempting to sabotage our email here.
Isn't that nice?
These are the patriots, the good Americans, the people that believe in free speech, the Constitution, and all of that, right?
So, God bless America.
But do remember that if you ever receive any unsolicited mail from me or Jalene, it ain't from us. We sometimes, we read everything, and sometimes we answer you, but you will never receive anything unsolicited. All right.
Yes.
What did someone, remember Rick Santorum? Rick Santorum? Yeah.
Remember
yesterday, Rick Santorum, the Pennsylvania senator who was making these homophobic remarks and conflating it with all sorts of things like bigamy and polygamy and incest. Well, the polygamists are all upset at Rick Santorum.
Oh, no! Oh, he's really gone and done it now.
Yeah, all Owen Allred, 89 years old, head of the United Apostolic Brethren, based in Salt Lake City. He's the leader of one of Utah's largest polygamous sects, has objected to Senator Rick Santorum's comment, lumping plural marriage with other practices that the Pennsylvania Republican considers to be anti-family. Remember what he said, though? He said that he doesn't hate homosexuals. He just hates the act that they commit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Here's what Dave from Silverdale, Washington, wrote into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. He says, I don't hate Republicans, just Republican acts.
Yeah. You could twist that for so many things. I think you were doing that yesterday,
weren't
you?
Yes, indeed. This is from Lenny. Lenny wrote into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Greetings. Just wanted to give all in Santa Fe and northern New Mexico a heads up. Dennis Kucinich will be speaking in Santa Fe this coming Monday, 7 p.m. at the Santa Fe High School gym.
What is up with Santa Fe and Dennis Kucinich? Or is he just getting around? He must love you there. Well,
yes.
I don't blame him.
KTRC.
Be there,
know,
all the time, too.
Yeah, right. Yeah. They broadcast this program, so we know. No, this is a city of a different type, a decent type.
Yes.
Let the light shine to illuminate the darkness this country is now in. Come see Dennis on Monday evening. Thanks for your voices, meaning you and me, Jolene. Time for major changes in this country. Yes. Yes, Lenny. Yes. Dennis Kucinich, who is from Cleveland, and let's see, he's the ranking member of the House Government Reform Subcommittee on National Security, Emerging Threats, and International Relations. Man, I'm glad I don't have that on my business card.
Yeah, that'd be a little too long.
He has written Darth Vader, Secretary of War Donald Rumsfeld, and requested that the Department of Defense release the total number of Iraqi casualties that have occurred during the invasion and occupation of Iraq.
Well, that'd be good. The only numbers we get are from, you know, other foreign agencies.
Well, they're also on my website, though. If you go to Peter Werbe, PeterWerbe.com, and there's a little section there. Let's see if I can get down to it real quick. Boy, this thing is long. Quickly. Well, maybe, yeah, here we go. General Tommy Frank says, we don't do body counts. We do at PeterWerbe.com. And I think you can just go to IraqiBodyCount.com or .org. Right now, it is maximum civilian deaths of 2,380 and minimum of 1,933. Mm. And probably 4 to 5 times that in disabling injuries. So around 10,000 Iraqis have paid for George W. Bush's illegal and needless war. Needless? Where are the weapons of mass destruction? Jolene, we have a guest right now?
We do. As a matter of fact, it is Frank Emsbach.
Oh, yeah.
From the Workers' Independent News Service.
Oh, this is going to be great. We're going to do this on a regular basis. Oh, yeah. We'll talk about this when we
Working
come back.
Working for a living.
Yeah. Peter Werbe, Jolene Jordan, 1-800-TALK-YES.
Do you love your car or truck? Like gaze into its headlights, worship the ground it rolls on kind of love? Then take it to an independent service center that installs premium AC Delco automotive parts. No matter what you drive, your loved one will be given the expert care it deserves. And since April is National Car Care Month, the timing is perfect. Check out acdelco.com for an independent service center near you. Because you want your love to last forever. Or 200,000 miles, whichever comes first. AC Delco, when the right way is the only way.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller. Three Chinese labor activists have been detained by the Chinese government as a delegation of U.S. diplomats and journalists who are China investigating the country's increased labor strife. The three were reportedly told to avoid contact with the U.S. delegation or suffer, quote, serious consequences. Meanwhile, two other labor activists remain in a Chinese prison more than 3 months after a state court conducted trials against them for subversion. They still await their verdicts.
28,000 apartment services workers in New York City are mulling over a tentative new contract today. Their union's bargaining team struck a deal in the early morning hours yesterday following talks that stretched past a midnight strike deadline. John Hamill of Service Employees Union, Local 32BJ, says the deal would improve the weekly salaries of workers in each of the contract's 3 years.
The average worker will get an $18 raise in the first year of the contract, that's starting at the 21st of this month, $19 a week in the second year of the contract, $20 a week in the third year of the contract. Combined with the benefits increases in terms of pension, annuities, health fund, etc., it comes to about a $90 a week package for each worker over the course of the 3 years.
The deal also secures a $10 copay for visits to the doctor. Mail-in ballots will allow all 28,000 union members to vote on the deal.
A three-day general strike is underway in Zimbabwe as unions protest the government's tripling of fuel prices. Most businesses in Zimbabwe are closed through tomorrow, but government offices remain open. So far, there has been no state violence, unlike last month's general strike where police randomly beat people both during and after the action. However, state security forces have stepped up patrols in the cities, and four trade union leaders were detained by police just before the strike began yesterday for passing out flyers.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
There was no one flipping burgers. All the grills were cold. Onion rings were in their bags. Fries were growing mold. There were no baristas at Starbucks asking how many shots would you like, when all the minimum wage workers went on strike.
The Peter Robich Show, 1-800-TALK-YES.
Thank you very much. That's David Rovics, R-O-V-I-C-S. You can go to davidrovics.com. And, of course, that was our mystery announcer. And he has to, because he's so famous, he has to use this voice distorter. Anybody who is listening to some of our radio affiliates and everyone listening, if you're listening to Sirius Left Stream 145 or if you're online or on cable, you've heard the Workers Independent News Service. And you know that it is just exemplary in terms of what a newscast should be, rather than the mainstream oriented, even stuff, can I say this, even the stuff we have on this network, right? But I want to bring to our microphones Frank Emsbach, and Frank Emsbach is one of the people that makes WINS, Workers Independent News Service, go. Frank is the managing editor and executive producer of the project. Frank, welcome to the Peter Werby Show. Let me see here, am I doing something wrong again? Yep. I am sorry, Char. This phone and all of this junk, what I did is I just knocked him off the air. Let's see. Jalene Jordan now is, never mind. Actually, you know, you wrote ha, 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 and you did it by, you have like a typographical error there, but you had J-A-J-A instead of H-A-H-A, and if you pronounce it in Spanish and you're Miami, that's still ha, ha. All right, so that works. All right, what we're going to talk about is, here's Frank. Let's try it again, Frank. So you didn't, you're not embarrassing. You didn't hear the big send-up I gave you.
Well, I heard the first three sentences, and now I have a swelled head, so you have to speak louder so it gets through the ears, you know.
Okay, welcome to the broadcast, and congratulations on the Workers Independent News Service.
Well, thank you.
Hey, what gave you the idea to put this forth in the first place?
We're aware through a lot of conferences and meetings with rank-and-file activists and local union leaders around the country that there were 60 to 100 existing locally produced radio shows dealing with labor issues. And we thought, wow, if there is this much interest, maybe we could put together a national network, draw on these people and these shows, and be able to begin to produce a headline news service.
Wow.
So it was basically generated because we found that there were already in existence a lot of people trying to do labor news of one sort or another.
Now, that surprises me. Now, what? These have to be like public or community stations.
Right. They're on public and they're on public and community stations, mostly community stations, but some of them, like Pacifica, are in major metropolitan areas. So we're talking about organizations that have, you know, shows that have significant listenership. Even our show at WORT in Madison was drawing a significant and large and growing working-class audience to the point where the commercial papers here, both TV and radio and the press, increased their coverage of labor events markedly whenever we would broadcast something.
Well, when you hear, for instance, what's usually called business news, which would include, one would think, news of the labor force as well, you really only get business news of the owners and the corporations.
That's right. We have asked NPR, and we've asked other people who do these special business shows to have our 2 or 3 minutes on there. But so far, to no avail. And so what we finally come down to is this. We think most working people listen to a commercial radio like IE America, and we think the way to go is to identify commercial stations in areas where there's lots of working people and work with the community to ask that station to play our material.
Mm-hmm.
And in that way, begin to broaden out the material that's available to the stations and, of course, then make it possible for working people to hear about issues of concern to them.
Now, when we talk about working people or workers, there's usually this disparaging image of like Joe Lunchbucket or Joe Sixpack. But when you get down to it, the vast majority of us in this country are workers. Very frequently, though, people in the middle class don't like to be referred to as workers because they think that is just the industrial workers, right?
Well, I think some of that is true. It depends sort of where you are. But, you know, in the last couple of years, one of those, so Joe Lunchbucket types, like firefighters, for instance, after 9/11, people began to understand a little bit about that. And then you had utility workers down there struggling to restore services, and people began, wow, look at that, you know. The other thing that's happening, I think, is that as the economy gets tighter and tighter, people are looking around and what jobs are stable and who is making what and whose pensions are protected. People begin to say, wow, you know, maybe this isn't such a bad deal. After all, some of these workers have defined benefit plans and their pension isn't going to be taken away. Some of these people are really highly skilled. And my doctor just joined the union. Oh, all the nurses are in the union. Oh, 90% of all teachers are in a union. So I think that you're right in general, but I also believe that there's a change of opinion going on.
No, that's good. Frank Emsbach, I've known you and of you for almost decades now.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Don't worry. Your secrets are safe with me.
Okay.
Now I forgot my question. Is that blew that right out of my brain. I know what it is. On the other hand, you'll have to tell me about wins, you don't look uncritically at unions as they exist today, do you?
No. We do news. We're not an editorial service or a public relations service. We're a news service. So, and I think that's important to emphasize. There are people, I mean, you do it. I mean, you are a talk radio, so to speak, an editorial service using content. But we are not. We just do news. And so if something embarrassing happens, as has been the case in the last few months with different things, we report on that. It seems to me that if we do not speak honestly and speak the truth, then people won't listen.
Sure. We're talking with Frank Emsbach, and he's the managing editor of Workers Independent News Service that I think we air at least 10, 12 times a day, right?
Well, I hope so.
That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's what I think we're supposed to be doing every 2 hours is my understanding. I have to say I'm not entirely loyal to the network. I do sleep 8 hours a day. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, you have to work on that network.
I miss some of the hours. I'm impressed, let's say, of the sources. There's a lot of maybe speak to that. I mean, you never hear much of what is on WINS on the IE America radio network on the mainstream news. So where do you get your sources for that, and are they just ignoring them, the mainstream news, or do they not have access to them?
Well, the first question, where do we get our sources? Our theory is that what makes the news is what's happening in different communities. Certainly there are national issues, national policies that are important, but we try to put the those in the context of what's happening in a particular area. So, for example, if there's a big crisis in pensions, not only in the airline industry, but clearly in General Motors, in the steel industry, where they talk about legacy costs. So rather than just talking about it from that general perspective, we will find somebody, a worker or a local union president or somebody, say, in Canton, Ohio, where the president was today, and say, well, what's the effect? What does it mean when somebody says your pension is going to be guaranteed by the Pension Guarantee Board and not by U.S. Steel. What does that mean? Or by Bethlehem or whoever. And the person says, well, it means that I've lost this, this, and this, or whatever the story is. So we find that it's very easy to get people to talk about what's happening that they know. Now,
so you actually have reporters?
140 of them, yeah.
Oh, well, hello. Yeah, okay. That makes a lot of sense. I'm wondering, where do you get these sound bites from? So you have people that are right there on the scene.
Oh, yes, people all over, and actually a significant number of bilingual as well.
Yeah, I noticed that.
We feel that the way to do this is to try to get somebody on the spot. So sometimes we can't do that, and we have the kind of equipment where we can upgrade the phone line and so forth so we can get high-quality, broadcast-quality interviews over the phone, even if we can't get there personally in a very short period of time. So we were able, in this tragic, tragic accident or whatever, at the General Electric plant near Louisville, Kentucky, when this woman was hit by a car and killed at 4 or 5 in the morning during the strike over health care a couple of months ago, we were able to do an on-the-spot recording via the phone there, because we couldn't get anybody to that spot. And so we had a national story done on both the healthcare crisis and this terrible tragedy maybe 4 hours after it happened and available to the unions by around 11 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Now, maybe we could do this, and we haven't talked fully, and so I don't want to make any presumptions, but we have talked with Frank Emsbach about doing this on a regular basis, or at least having a feature where Thursday, right? Every Thursday where we discuss issues that affect working people, both middle class and working class, on a regular basis. And I'm doing that because, I won't put you on the spot, but I'm hoping Frank can do it because I'm so impressed with the work that you do. But I also understand that you do a lot of work.
I'd like to do these things because we get a better idea of what the listeners are interested in and what you're interested in.
Okay.
In terms of this. But as far as your show is concerned and IE America, we'd be more than happy to offer you our features. We do two a week usually.
Mm-hmm.
We have a pretty large number of backlogs, some of which are very, very timely because they deal with pensions and health care. Others are more, related to a specific event.
All right, let me tell people, too, that you may have heard Jolene Jordan give the promotions for the Workers Independent News Service, and she talks about how you can be an activist in your community and get news like this on your local station. So what you want to do is go to laborradio.org.
www.
Yeah.
Two R's.
Yeah, that's right. I had to check that before I did. Laborradio.org. Let's kind of forge ahead here and look at an issue. And this ties in a number of stories that are in the news. It begins, oddly enough, with Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum, which we've had an email debate as to whether Santorum is Latin for a-hole. But I don't want to get into that. I don't want to test your Latin, Frank. But he said when you get right, this was just political Tourette's on his part. He didn't just come out with a typical stupid, bigoted Republican remark. He said essentially that he feels that the right of privacy is not guaranteed to anyone within the confines of the Constitution. We then got an email from a listener at calltalkyes@yahoo.com that said this. I guess I'm going to have to give you a different slant on surveillance. Oh, I'm sorry. This is one after it. This guy said that he quit when the boss put in a surveillance camera in a Lake Tahoe bar. He'd been working there for 25 years. He said, I'm not sitting there under a camera. Well, Nell from San Diego then wrote in and said, I'm going to give you a different slant. My brother owns a small bar in Chicago. Until he installed cameras, his bartenders were stealing from him big time. Now, I said on the air, well, Nell, I appreciate this, but my feeling is always that if you pay workers decently, they don't steal. And so Frank Emsbach, you write a lot about technology and work, so we have the introduction of surveillance technology into the workplace. Nell says that her brother uses it creatively to stop theft. Your thoughts, please.
I think that the first point, that if people are well-treated, that you will reduce the chances of theft and fraud and so forth. And if people feel they're being taken advantage of, they'll do it. I mean, we're thinking about TV and stuff like that, but for many, many years, and I was an industrial worker for many years, there was surveillance in the workplace through all kinds of artful ways, both technical and non-technical. And if people were well treated, they didn't spend their time figuring out how to screw the company, at least in the sense of stealing things. We were in a workforce of over 8,000 people, and or I was, in one location, and maybe one or two people per year were charged with theft.
Mm-hmm.
So that's infinitesimal, and in the general population. And in fact, the two that I'm most familiar with were clearly had a problem because here they were the most highly paid people in the place, and they were stealing light bulbs to go home. So I mean, this is a real grievance. So in real life, Certainly there is theft. Certainly there are dishonest people, but claiming that surveillance will prevent it is unlikely. People are pretty smart, and if they know they're being watched, which they'll know after the first discharge, right? After the first person is nailed, they'll think of something. So the best thing is prevention, and the best prevention is the decent workplace. And I mean, there's all kinds of human resource literature on this that would support that.
And is this increasing, this kind of technological surveillance in the workplace?
Yes. It's happening in many, many ways, not only video surveillance, but, of course, there are ways to monitor keystrokes on one's computer if you're entering data. All your emails can be monitored. They're usually the property of the company anyway, even though people don't know this. There's more surveillance in terms of parking lots, entering and leaving factories. People have cards, identification cards, smart cards, so that you can't go from one office to another without passing through a security system. So there's much more surveillance, not only just video, but all kinds in terms of how you move, what you produce, and what you say.
Well, somebody once said that when you enter the workplace, you surrender every guarantee that you expect as an American when you're outside.
Well, that was before Section 7A of the National Labor Relations Act in 1935, and we've been fighting like mad to preserve it ever since.
Really? I wish we had more time to talk about it, but we're out of time. So that sense that you give up the Bill of Rights when you enter the workplace isn't the case.
And not if you have a union. If you don't, it's much more iffy. But if you do, then you do not give up all your rights.
Mm-hmm.
And those of us who have been in both places can attest to that.
A friend of mine once was putting up a banner over the entrance to the shop that he worked at that said, "Abandon hope, all ye who enter," just at the time that his boss and some potential investors came by. It was a non-union shop, and he was history. Frank Emsbach, it is great to talk with you. I hope we can do this on a regular basis. Frank is the managing editor of Workers Independent News Service, and it's something that's heard on the half hour every 2 hours here on the IE America Radio Network. You can go to Labor Radio, that's with two R's, laborradio.org, and they know to put in the W's, right? Or you can go to ieamericaradio.com. I guess it's easier to go to Labor Radio.
Beautiful blue logo.
Yeah, it's looking good. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
All right, Frank Emsbach.
Right.
Thanks a lot. All right.
Bye-bye.
And we do this on a regular basis.
Sure.
We are going to, there we go. I couldn't get rid of him. We're going to have a nice little logo. Huey Lewis in the News, Working for a Living. You know that one? And then there's a song, too, called by the Bus Boys called Working for the Minimum Wage. That's a good one. You think any other ideas for songs along this line? And, of course, David Robick's Minimum Wage Strike. I'll be back with Jalene Jordan. I'm Peter Werby. 1-800-TALK-YES is our phone number.
You don't want to miss the first pitch of the playoffs for the second year in a row, so you're probably scrambling for dinner. Hey, think fast. Think eggs, like an omelet with mushrooms, cheese, and tomatoes, or anything else you like. Omelets are delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes, so you get to the game on time, see the first pitch, your team sweeps the playoffs, and goes on to win the championship. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
Every morning you send your kids out into a world filled with drugs, peer pressure, alcohol, even violence. How can you be sure they have the skills to find their way home safely? That they can make good decisions when you're not watching over them? This is Barry Williams, urging you to call the Girls and Boys Town National Hotline for help and advice at 1-800-448-3000. The call is free anytime, day or night. 1-800-448-3000. Just call. Your kids will be glad you did. Time furnished by the Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Let's read this one.
My favorite!
You want me to read her bedtime story? You have a bad headache.
Yeah,
I can't let it ruin our story time.
The moment of choice. Which will work better on your headache? Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, you'll feel better faster with Advil Liquid Gels. These advanced liquid-filled capsules rush relief where you need it. They're proven to work faster, stronger, better than Tylenol on tough pain.
The
end.
Good night, big girl.
Good night, big guy.
For better headache relief, advance to Advil.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Are you worried that the road less traveled is a dead end? I feel your pain. It's not easy to be positive and happy and peaceful in a world that's so often negative and filled with war and hatred and SARS, but we can do it together. Join me, Nancy Skinner, for a radio evolution. It's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Populi, that's Voice of the People. It's a program where people talk about the world around us and the one we want to create.
That's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Pop, weekdays from 10 to noon Eastern Time, starting April 28th on IE America Radio Network.
Okay, let's go to Rand in New Mexico. Hey, Rand, welcome to Animal Talk.
Howdy, everybody. I love your show.
Well, thank you so much.
Older husky, the 14-and-a-half-year-old, has currently gotten into licking the cover of his bed.
Hmm. Oh, well, you know, there could be a lot of really good smells on the cover of the bed, considering I'm sure he likes to lay around outside, and a lot of other things. Anal gland scent is probably one of the biggest
ones.
Oh,
I forgot the good old anal gland.
Nobody expects the anal glands.
Right, and I'll tell you, they like to remind you every now and then that they exist.
Yeah. Hey, sure. Rand, we're going to come out with a new T-shirt just in honor of you.
Really?
It's going to say, anal glands express them.
Oh, jeez. You don't know how apropos that is.
Hey, Rand, we're going to put you on hold and get your information, get you out your free pickles, okay?
Oh, thanks.
All right.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
World, it is exploding, violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating. But you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't.
The Peter Werby Show, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much, Barry McGuire, 1965. Boy, that old-fashioned song doesn't have any relevance to today, does it? Hi, Jalene Jordan.
Hi, Peter. It reminded me how we got an email from someone who was complaining about all of our old protest songs and everything like that.
Really? I didn't see that.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing is it is also relevant today.
Yeah, we got to start getting some Bob Dylan on, right? The times they are a-changin', and what are some of the other big ones that were protested? What's the, what do you call in the wind? Blowing in the wind.
Oh,
the
yeah.
The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. You know, there's a great Stevie Wonder rendition of that on this, what is it, like 1992, I think, tribute to Bob Dylan, where they had everybody under the sun, all the current rockers and pop people. And Stevie Wonder, man, he does a version of it. It almost brings me to tears.
That guy could sing anything and make it sound beautiful.
Yeah, maybe one of these days I should just get beyond my guy thing and actually cry. Every year I'm always saying, almost brought me to tears.
Just admit it sometimes.
I admit it, though, that I fight some of this stuff. I fight back tears, and Marilyn always says, why are you fighting back? I go,
yeah, it's true.
I don't know.
I never fight him back. I just let it go.
Yeah. I mean, a couple of times on our show, we've had people that have, you know, that have almost reduced me to tears. Remember, we were out in Santa Cruz, and that legless Vietnam veteran,
Brian Wilson. I had him on the show last week.
Did you?
Yeah.
Wow.
I cried this morning listening to the radio. You know, Luther Vandross had a severe stroke.
Yeah.
R&B singer. He's one of my favorites. And they did this moment of silence on commercial radio. And I just sat there and just bawled my eyes out. So just let it go, Peter.
Yeah. Did he die? He's not doing well.
No. Right? They say he's getting better. But yes, so he's now in critical rather than serious. Or is it serious? Maybe he's in serious instead of critical. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm just glad he's okay.
Well, that's good. Yeah, they can do a lot these days. Well, when we come back, I want to talk about George W. Bush's resume. It's available on my website, peterwerbe.com, PETERWERBE.com, and also tell you about Turn Off Your TV Week. But it's all, I just stole it from BuzzFlash.com. I don't know if I can read the whole thing. Man, G.W. Bush's resume, 5 pages long. All right, more with the Dixie Chicks just saying it. Hey, right wingers, shove it! Don't you think that's what that it was all about? That cover, the cover of Entertainment Weekly.
Were they naked? Yes.
Were they naked? You said it, not me.
You could say naked.
We'll be right back. Peter Werbe, Jalene Jordan, 1-800-TALK-YES.
You've been listening to the Peter Werbe Show on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Truth Seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. If you've been suffering from withdrawal because you can't find The Malloy Show, I've got the cure. Just remember this phrase, MM 9 p.m. That's right, Mike Malloy can now be heard weeknights from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. So turn off the reruns on TV and tune in to Mike for your nightly 3-hour bedtime story. MM 9 p.m. Pleasant dreams.
Are you tired of being yelled at, preached at, lectured to, demagogued, ridiculed, moralized, proselytized, and abused? Why don't you try something new? Join me, Nancy Skinner, on IE America Radio Network, where we can discuss the issues of the day from a whole new and healthier perspective. Nobody gets fed to the lions, everybody has a right to their opinions, and the best thing is you walk away feeling better about life.
That's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Pop, weekdays from 10 to noon Eastern Time, starting April 28th on IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Erica Kane. An unknown number of U.S. soldiers are being questioned about the alleged theft of part of a $650 million cash discovery made inside a Baghdad palace. Another soldier is suspected of trying to ship 2 gold-plated AK-47s to the U.S. Officials also say at least 3 members of the media are suspected of smuggling items that belong to the Iraqi people. A Navy pilot missing since the start of the 1991 Gulf War may have left clues about his whereabouts after being shot down behind enemy lines. NBC News reports a U.S. search team has found Scott Spiker's initials scratched into the wall of a Baghdad prison cell. Secretary of State Colin Powell says talks with North Korea and China over the North's nuclear programs have ended in Beijing. During a speech in Washington, Powell put a diplomatic spin on international speculation that the talks have not gone well.
The sides will return to their capitals and assess what they heard, analyze proposals that were put down by the parties, and determine where we will go next.
Powell reiterated the U.S. position that North Korean nukes are absolutely unacceptable. A 14-year-old student in York County, Pennsylvania, fatally shot his junior high school principal before turning the gun on himself this morning. This unidentified student witnessed the shooting in the school cafeteria.
He just stands up and shoots the principal, like, out of nowhere, and, like, everyone's silent, and then, like, we hear the principal give out, like, this really loud moan, and everyone's scared, and it's, like, pandemonium, and we're all running all over the place, and it's just horrible. And then, like, I turned around, and, like, I saw him shoot himself in the head and fall to the ground.
York County officials say the teen was armed with several handguns. There's no word on any animosity between the shooter and the principal. More in a moment.
Let's read this one.
My favorite.
You want me to read her bedtime story? You have a bad headache.
Yeah, but I can't let it ruin our story time.
The moment of choice. Which will work better on your headache? Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, you'll feel better faster with Advil Liquid Gels. These advanced liquid-filled capsules rush relief where you need it. They're proven to work faster, stronger, better than Tylenol on tough pain.
Good night, big girl.
Good night, big guy.
For better headache relief, advance to Advil.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
President Bush wants Congress to approve billions of dollars in new tax cuts.
Some in Congress say the plan is too big. Well, it seems like to me they might have some explaining to do. If they agree that tax relief creates jobs, then why are they for a little bitty tax relief package?
The Senate wants cuts limited to $350 billion. The House approved a $550 billion tax cut. The president agreed to the House figure after first seeking more than $700 billion in cuts. More after this.
You love your car. You park it at the far end of the lot. You've got a special name for it. And you take it to an independent service center that installs premium AC Delco automotive parts. No matter what you drive, your loved one will be treated to the expert care it deserves. And since April is National Car Care Month, there's never been a more perfect time to pamper it. Go to acdelco.com to find an independent service center near you. It's the least you can do for a car named the Beige Bomber. AC Delco, when the right way is the only way.
A Pennsylvania senator is under fire for recent remarks about homosexuals.
Rita Odessa, head of the Lesbian and Gay Task Force in Philadelphia, says the comments made by Senator Rick Santorum are nothing more than the words of a bigot.
His commentary is no different from the racism of Senator Trent Lott.
Odessa says there should be equal rights legislation passed on both the state and federal level for all people. Tom McDonald, Philadelphia.
Racing legend Mario Andretti was not injured after crashing in his first run at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway in 8 years. Andretti's car flipped end over end several times and almost reached the top of a 22-foot catch fence after hitting debris from a previous wreck.
The man upstairs has been taking care of me for so many years. I can't see him giving up now.
The 63-year-old was making a practice run for a possible shot at next month's Indy 500. If he qualifies, he would become the oldest driver in history to make the race. I'm Erica Kane, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Life in a fishbowl. No, not in an aquarium. The behaviors of these specimen were observed while they were driving their cars. When we come back, I'll tell you what you've been doing on the road.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
Stretch limos with tinted windows aside. What we do while driving is on display for everyone to see. And according to an Exxon poll of 1,000 drivers, our top three favorite activities are 1 in 5 of us flirt with other drivers.
Another 40% actually reach out and touch someone with our cell phones. And the number one private activity that 70% of us perform for public view is the ever-popular eating. Now that gives dining and dashing a whole new meaning. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Daring to connect the dots. It's the Peter Werby Show. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thank you very much. With Jalene Jordan. Hi, Jalene.
Hi, Peter.
And you think I keep bringing up this Dixie Chick thing just because they're naked on the cover of Entertainment Weekly, right?
Well, maybe not totally.
No. But this is what's happening, folks. They're going to be on Diane Sawyer's program tonight, and they're going to be asked about their statement, or the Natalie Maines, the lead singer of the Dixie Chicks, remark. It was in London, I think it was the night right before the war, and she said, "I'm ashamed that George W. Bush is from Texas." Now, the fascists within our midst, emanating right out of the White House, said, "Get the Dixie Chicks." Just like they're saying, "Get all the enemies." This is the Nixon enemies list writ large. Anybody who dares to cross the Bush administration, it's like the Corleones. You know, you don't do that. You don't mess
really
with the Godfather. And so they're, you know, coming out of this. The signal was, how can you say it? The word was given, the signal picked up by the minions of the right wingers. And spontaneously, rallies were, well, I guess they weren't spontaneous, were they? They were by these huge radio conglomerates with ties into the Bush White House that began having these little sessions where they crushed Dixie Chicks CDs, and people were, and people began writing in death threats. They're just like, what, in their early 20s, aren't they?
I mean, geez. I don't know how old they are.
Yeah, they look so. I mean, here, as I look at them naked on the cover of Entertainment Weekly.
I would say late 20s.
Late 20s.
Not by their bodies, but just by, you know.
Yeah. They have their arms and they have their arms and hands strategically. That's an amazing photo if you look at it and think the way they have successfully covered everything up, right?
It really is.
Yeah, it is.
Parts that they didn't cover up. I mean, those girls look pretty good. They're in pretty good shape.
Well, you know, there is a little computer program called Photoshop.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you could have taken a photograph of me, and I would have come out as one of the Dixie Chicks, given the ability. All right, all over them, they have written, or superimposed on them probably, words like traitors, hero, brave, proud Americans, Saddam's angels, boycott. And on Natalie Maines' stomach, right below her belly buckle, it says peace. Right above it, it says shut up.
So, I know what people were telling her to do.
Yeah, and I think mainly, and you share this, that I think what's going on here, this is their way of telling the right-wingers, the censors, the fascists, stuff it.
Oh, I definitely believe that.
Stuff it.
Yep. And, I'm glad. I'm really happy about this.
Yeah. And Matty McGuire, one of them, in being interviewed by Diane Sawyer, she asked Natalie Maines, "Are you ashamed that the president is from the state?" "No, I'm not truly embarrassed that President Bush is from my state. That's not really what I care about." And Matty McGuire says, "I feel like there was a lack of compassion every time I saw Bush talking about the war. I honestly felt a lack of compassion, and I realized." Sawyer says, "For whom?" And McGuire says, "For me, for people that are questioning this war, for the people that are about to die for this on both sides."
Wow, that's so true.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it's pretty clear where they stand on all of this. And these are young women. I don't think they're very politicized, but they understood that people in the industry, and that's probably what made them, I don't think they're going around along with the crowd. I think what it does is make everyone look self-reflectively. And think, wait a minute, am I just going to go along with what I last saw on television? All that's just pimping for power?
Yeah.
Lying about this run-up to the war? All the information that there were no weapons of mass destruction, that Iraq did not threaten in any way the United States. I mean, it is preposterous to think so. That rather than being a danger to the region, that Iraq was an army of dust. That the United States knew every bit of this, and eventually it'll come out. And what are they, you know, it'll come out in 7 years, 9 years, 11 years, and everyone will go tisk, tisk, tisk.
Yeah, remember that? Gee, that was way back when.
This is from Elliot listening to KTRC in Santa Fe. He wrote a letter to the editor of the Santa Fe New Mexican, and he said it probably won't get printed, so he wondered if we'd read it on the air. Well, I'll just read his summary of it. He suggests that G.W. Bush appoint Kenneth Starr to head the search for weapons of mass destruction in Iraq.
Yes!
There you go.
Do it!
It says, Kenneth Starr has a wealth of experience in looking for non-existent smoking guns and has the same lack of compunction as the president, he has that in quotes, in spending outrageous amounts of money on fruitless searches.
Perfect. Yeah. This is right up his alley.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what did the Starr's search for the smoking gun on Clinton cost? $60 million, wasn't it?
It was, yeah, up
there.
It
was big. It was big. That's right. Well, the United States is telling Iran not to interfere in the affairs of Iraq. Can you imagine this? This country comes, ours comes from 6,000 miles away, destroys this country's infrastructure, shatters its government, an awful one to be sure, but one that was always supported by the United States up until it was no longer convenient. And we're telling the country next door, don't meddle in its affairs.
Yeah, we can't decide which country we like, which countries we don't like, you know.
Now, Jay Garner, the retired lieutenant general, lieutenant general, who was a just the CEO of a weapons manufacturer, and now is the proconsul, the viceroy of Iraq. He says the majority of people in Iraq realize we're only going to stay here long enough to start a democratic government for them.
Is that today?
Yeah.
Is that what he's saying today? Okay.
For them. And in the meantime, though, Darth Rumsfeld says that the people of Iraq can have any government they want, as long as it's one we like.
Yeah. See how they are.
Yeah. Iran, in the meantime, seeming like the reasonable party in all of this, rejected U.S. accusations that it was interfering and called for the United Nations to run an interim government. Then you wouldn't have a puppet government. You could have the United Nations involved in what George W. Bush said he would never do. That's be involved in nation building. Now, this, let me see, I don't even have a date on this. Oh, yeah, April 20th, so it was a few days ago. But apparently there's a debate within the White House as to whether or not to have a official large victory parade for the nation's military. This is absolutely disgraceful. Absolutely disgraceful.
I mean, it's kind of like having the Easter egg hunt on the White House lawn. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, when we talk about
spectacle.
The medium, the sole voice of power, there are cracks in the daily media. And one of them, I mean, the L.A. Times, the Boston Globe, James Carroll writing in the Boston Globe. Let's see. This was a couple of days ago. He wrote a column called A Nation Lost. And at the end of his column, he says, beware of war as an organizing principle of society. That's a great warning.
Yeah.
Beware of war as an organizing principle of society. It should be a source of alarm, not pride, that the United States is drawing such cohesive sustenance. I can't even say it. Sustenance. There you go. Sustenance.
There you go.
It's easy for you to say. From the war in Iraq. Photographic celebrations of our young warriors, glorifications of released American prisoners, heroic rituals of the war dead all take on the character of crass exploitation of the men and women in uniform. First, they were forced into a dubious circumstance, and now they are themselves being mythologized as its main post facto justification. And if that's not clear, he gets to it. As if the United States went to war not to seize Saddam, disappeared, or to dispose of weapons of mass destruction, missing, or to save the Iraqi people, chaos, but, quote, to support the troops. And we've talked about that, how there's this circularity. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, we're, you know, why are we there? Well, we got to support the troops. Well, what about the reasons? What about weapons of mass destruction? What about Iraq representing a threat to the region and to the United States? Well, we have to support our troops. So people buy into this mythology, and this is what James Carroll is talking about.
Yeah.
War thus becomes its own justification. What's the reason for the war? The war. We're fighting there. Why wouldn't we support it?
Yeah.
You
know, there's a big USO support the troops show here tomorrow night.
The war is over.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. There this is the station my husband runs, by the way. And you can win prizes if you wear camouflage. And tonight they're smashing a Peugeot. How do you say that? Peugeot. A French car.
Wait, what do they call that? What do the rappers call it? Bitch slap? I'm a bitch slap your husband.
I know.
Bring him down.
Listen.
Bring him. Is he at the studio with you?
He is not. He's in his own studio.
Let's call him up.
He's getting ready for the big poop. You know, I'm telling you.
He did that to you.
He did it to me last week.
Remind people about that.
Okay. Well, this is where I wanted to go to support the French Day at a French restaurant, and I got all upset because he goes, oh, because of that, it's always politics. And so his morning show, Miami Morning Show, called me and harassed me a bit about it.
So we
we should call him. He never answers my phone calls. He's probably afraid.
Yeah. Now, there's more of this stuff. Who said this? A senior U.S. commander. The enemy had, quote, gained support in the United States that gives him the hope that he can win politically that which he cannot win militarily, close quote. Also said, 95% of the people are behind the United States effort. I'm leaving some of this out, so you can't tell who it is. American soldiers are dismayed, and so am I, by recent unpatriotic acts at home. And that, doesn't that sound like everything we were hearing about the anti-war movement and all the people in our industry that have been speaking out against this war and this invasion and occupation?
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Except that it was on this date, in 1967, these words uttered by General William Westmoreland, although we used to call him at the time General Westmoreland, senior U.S. commander in South Vietnam. And he was saying, you know, that the Vietnamese enemy had gained support in the United States. So it's the same thing. What these people don't want is political criticism. And people that do not want political democratic debate are what? I mean, they're undemocratic, they're authoritarians, they're fascists.
Yeah.
So when you try to stop the Dixie Chicks, or when you try to stop an anti-war movement, when you try to, when you punish, I don't know, I have this right at my fingertips here, when you try to punish a Canadian programmer, did you hear this thing? This, where is it here? I mean, it's just typical.
A radio programmer?
No, a computer programmer that had a Canadian programmer says U.S. cutting funding after comments. A respected Canadian computer programmer says the United States government severed research financing for a computer security project he was working on after he made remarks in the Canadian press critical of the American military effort in Iraq.
Well, doesn't he know better?
Well, doesn't France? How about this one? U.S. angry at French stance on war considers punishment.
Yeah, what kind of punishment would they be considering?
This is the Godfather. And if you think about it, people kind of romanticize like the mob and the Corleones. But,
oh, yeah.
But actually the structure is directly of a fascist organization with the powerful leader at the top. And when you can make decisions of life or death, there's nothing like a democracy involved there, because when I give the word, that the word is carried out. But the Bush administration is pursuing steps to punish France for opposing the United States on the war in Iraq, including the possibility of limiting French participation in American-sponsored meetings with European allies.
Well, good. So the smashing of the Peugeot, well, they'll be even more excited about it.
Where did they find a Peugeot? Do they even sell in this
country? I don't know. It's South Florida. Who knows?
Yeah. Another administration official took pains to point out that when Bush attends an international economic summit meeting in Evian in the French Alps later this spring, he will stay at a hotel across the border in Switzerland. How small can you get?
Yeah.
How small can you get? And a French diplomat said, we're not forcing anyone to spend the night in France, but he said that Switzerland had been even more opposed than the French to the American-led invasion of Iraq. They didn't even allow overflights rights for American planes.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, these people are really dangerous. They do operate like the classic fascist movements of the 1930s. And you got to remember, these fascist movements didn't, I mean, I know, ours controls the government now, but initially they didn't. And we do have a constitution, so they're moving slowly, but they're moving slowly and steadfastly against our constitution.
Our constitution is crying.
Peter Werby, Jillian Jordan, 1-800-TALK-YES. We'll be right back.
If you're an allergy sufferer and want non-drowsy prescription-strength medicine without a prescription, you have a new choice. Allivert. Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, anywhere. It's non-drowsy relief even Claritin can't beat. New quick-dissolving Allivert. Allergy medicine right when you need it, wherever you are. Use as directed.
For the past 40 years, Atkins told the world that the way to lose weight was to cut down on carbohydrates. And for the last 40 years, the establishment responded with... Then, on July 7th, we read in the New York Times Magazine, maybe it's not the fat that makes you fat, it's all the carbohydrates. And an article in Time said, Atkins may have struck a vein of truth. So now what's everyone saying? Get the facts about the approach the experts are finally recognizing. Check out the special Atkins insert in Self Magazine on sale now.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
The place to be for entertaining weekend programming is IE America Radio Network. The Doug Seff and Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The home improvement experts in Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffen's Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Ramblin' with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumba will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
Don't sweat the petty stuff and don't pet the sweaty stuff. How's that for sage advice? Well, it's better than being called stupid and immoral all morning long, isn't it? Join me, Nancy Skinner, for a radio evolution. It's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Pop, a program where we discuss our problems and how to solve them in a positive way without having to disown your in-laws, give up your career goals, and generally alienate everybody you know.
That's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Pop, weekdays from 10 to noon Eastern Time, starting April 28th on IE America Radio Network.
We're back. It's the Peter Werby Show. Call Peter at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
And joining me, Jalene Jordan. Yeah, the U.S. angry at the French. So angry that George W. Bush says he won't even stay the night in France. He's going to go over to Switzerland, even though the Swiss were much, much more... Well, you know, they are pathological. And let me see here. The anger at France, this is from the New York Times, is so deeply felt within the administration that even Secretary of State Colin Powell, in an interview on the Charlie Rose show, warned that the country would be punished for taking on the United States. This is the godfather. This, when I talk about the racketization of the entire political and economic system of this country, along with it goes the enforcement arm as well. So you see this in the Dixie Chicks. This is Troy, not your Troy, though, what we were talking about earlier. Troy writes into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Since Bruce Springsteen, as we were talking about the other day, came out in support of the Dixie Chicks, do you think Clear Channel and the other right-wingers will have the guts to attack him? Well, they didn't have any luck attacking the Dixie Chicks. Their CD, Home, is still number one. Their concerts are all sold out. So right-wingers, take this group and shove it. There you go. Hey, Matt, thanks for joining us from KTRC in Santa Fe. It's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome.
How are you doing?
Doing good.
Hey, I got a couple things for you real quick. I'm going to make a statement about the Dixie Chicks. One of the problems with them is that was their base of listeners are a lot of times in country music more right wing than liberal. So
sure.
they offended a lot of what would be considered their base by saying that, because as you know, the South is more hawkish, let's say.
Well, it doesn't look like they offended that many, but still number one, and their concerts are all
sold out. They're pretty mainstream. They're pretty mainstream. They go over into a lot of women. I know a lot of women. They have a strong female audience and a lot of younger people. So when you can reach the young ones, you can really sell those. And hopefully they're the young, untainted ones, you know.
Sure. My second question, theoretically, if the U.S. and if they find the weapons of mass destruction, will you believe that they actually found real weapons of mass destruction or planted weapons? And secondly, if they would have found them at the beginning of the war or earlier on, would you still have believed that they were actually Iraqis' weapons or something that was planted?
No. If they don't find a single thing, I guess that would even surprise me a little. It's possible they won't find anything. There's nothing substantial there that ever represented a threat. I mean, this was all a manufactured crisis by the Bush administration in order to carry out long-standing plans for invasion and occupation of a Middle Eastern country to secure oil there. So this has all just been a major ruse.
So my question, though, is if they would have found something, let's say they found stashes of anthrax at the beginning of the war, would you have believed it, or would you have said, well, it's got to be planted?
Well, you know, I would have tended to believe it. I mean, a lot of people listening probably don't. But I think that, I don't know. I mean, the administration has the capacity to lie in such a manner, and that they have fabricated and forged and presented forged documents in front of the world bodies. Who knows what they would do? But I assume if they actually came upon something, that would be a little too hard to fake, although maybe I'm being naive.
Right. I think we're setting ourselves up for a situation where the government itself is in a situation where it really doesn't matter, because even if they do find something, no one would believe it on the left anyway. So then it becomes an issue of so what.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I say, I don't think the issue ever was weapons of mass destruction. That there were plans that go back years to do exactly what George W. Bush did. And it came about right before the 2002 elections to divert people from what was going on in this country. The disastrous economy, the attack on the environment, the attack on working standards, and what have you. And
right.
It's that little phrase that I always use. Rich drunk frat boy drives economy into ditch, starts war as diversion. But this got to be the time to do it, because the Republicans would have lost the Senate, would have lost the House, would have not been for the diversion of what was going on about Iraq, because the poll numbers were starting to sink, and they were going to end up where they really belong. About a third of the people that would vote for Adolf Hitler if he was running as a Republican, yellow dog Republicans, I guess, and always another 5 or 6% of people that are confused. Thank you, Matt. Be right back. Peter Werby, Jalene Jordan, 1-800-TALK-YES.
Mom, Dad,
someone's going to try and get me to take drugs.
Want to do something about it?
You're going to have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with. Every day.
Don't like the sound of that?
Tough. You gotta be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them. Who, what, where, when. Questions. They're the anti-drug. Call 1-800-788-2800 for more information. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Conditions in the Pacific Ocean might have given rise to droughts that hit Atlanta and Afghanistan. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. La Niña is the name given to a periodic cooling of surface waters in the eastern Pacific Ocean, and climate researchers are finding that it can produce widespread drought that happened during a four-year period that only recently came to an end. Martin Herling is a meteorologist with the federal government's Climate Diagnostic Center in Boulder, Colorado. He and his colleagues studied conditions in the tropical oceans between 1998 and 2002. Herling says unusual conditions in the Pacific and Indian Oceans had consequences that circled the globe.
What we noticed in our analysis to begin with was that during this four-year period, there were some very unusual, if not unprecedented, conditions in the oceans. We had about a four-year run of cold conditions in the eastern tropical Pacific. At the same time that it was cold in the eastern part of the Pacific Ocean, it was unusually warm in the western Pacific and in the Indian Ocean.
Herling says this combination was remarkable. Cold waters of La Nina over the eastern Pacific, and at the same time, warm water over the western Pacific and Indian Oceans. He says most of those tropical waters cool during La Nina events. The unusual coincidence had a powerful impact on climate in the mid-latitudes, and the result was widespread drought. A recent switch to El Nino conditions in the eastern Pacific started to end the drought last fall. The temperatures in the western Pacific and Indian Oceans during the drought period were unprecedented in terms of their warmth. Researchers say those temperatures are consistent with predictions of the impact of global warming, and they might rise more during the 21st century. Herling says in that case, it's only a matter of time before La Nina returns and recreates the conditions for yet another widespread drought. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
You hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I
want to
see you try the Afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Show 1-800-TALK-YES 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much. With Jalene Jordan, where we're getting up close and personal, right?
Yeah, we are. That's right. Fine.
So we just established, tell us again, that your husband, who programs a major radio station, two of them, in Miami, Florida, where you're broadcasting from, is holding an event, Support Our Troops. They're going to smash a Peugeot. Where the hell do you get Peugeot? They actually sell Peugeots in the United States?
I didn't know about
A French car. Where, you go, where the hell do I get a French car from?
Well, here's the deal. My husband didn't have anything to do with that. It's the goofy morning show, you know, that put this together. Let's smash Peugeot. And so he had nothing to do with that. Of course, you know, he doesn't tell the morning show what to do for a living, right?
Should I read this from Russ in South Carolina?
Yeah, read it.
Is it Russ or Santa Cruz, not South Carolina, I think. All right. Your husband sounds like a conservative dweeb. He works for the man, right? Clear Channel. Mm-hmm. He's out destroying French cars, doesn't like organic food. Now, I bet he likes Bush. Is your relationship just an opposite attracts thing? Well, he's a real good-looking guy. Yeah, all right. I mean, that's part of it. Yeah.
I mean, he's not like an Adonis or anything. He's an average-looking, you know, nice-looking man. He's got a great personality. He does not like Bush.
Right.
He's not destroying the French cars. He's young. So he's afraid of organic food. I don't know what the... I think it's growing up in Minnesota that made him that way. And you know, grew up in a family where it was pretty much meat and potatoes. But he's not conservative, and he's not a dweeb. I will support him in that.
And I will affirm all of that.
Yeah. And you know what? Even he says, though, you know, like we're like the Mary Madeline and James Carville, but we're both on the same side.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if I'm honestly not sure if he has really found out where he is on the. I know he's left, but he's 30 years old.
Yeah.
And he's been a radio rock programmer for a lot of years. He hasn't really had a lot of time to sit around and form a lot of opinions, but I've given him a lot of opportunities, and he's down with our program, Peter.
That's good.
I mean, in a good way.
That's good. Yeah, by the way, U.S. angry at the French stance on the war. They asked Colin Corleone, he said, would France suffer the consequences? And he said, yes, they will.
Oh, and by the way, I'm sorry I'm not done. This USO Support the Troops show,
that he's putting...
fought tooth and nail with the uppers, you know, the upper management folks. And he really had no choice, so
okay.
He had to do it because of them. It wasn't even his choice. He did fight it. I swear, Russ in Santa Cruz, I swear.
Well, here's Joe in Taos. He wrote into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. He said, today you choose to bring up the, quote, punishment of France promised by the Bush Reich. With a coalition of the willing, including Napa Valley irregulars, Bush may invade France, says Joe. The loot and booty from the art alone would make it worthwhile, paying for more U.S. weapons of mass destruction and Bush's own 2004 campaign. Don't put this past him. Here is David in Atlanta, Georgia. It's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome.
How you doing, Peter?
Good.
This is my first call to your show. I've called Mike several times, but
Welcome.
Time to you. But
you know, Mike is still on the IE America radio
network.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, at night, 9 p.m. till midnight, right.
Oh, yeah, I listen.
Good, good.
I just had a couple of comments. I don't know if you've covered this about the chemical weapons of mass destruction that they're supposed to be looking for in Iraq. There's a couple of things. The one nice thing about this is it's very, very hard for them to fake the chemical weapons because chemicals leave. There's all kind of telltale signs you can find out where they were made, what batch they were, so you can tell if they were made in Dugway or if they were made in Baghdad. And even if they're destroyed, which I really find it very hard to believe this Iraqi chemist that says, or scientist that says they destroyed them all 2 days before the war started. I mean,
that was such a planted story. An unnamed person. They can't. I mean, yeah, that was in the Times. I just saw something online, just saying what depth will these people go to? Go ahead.
Right. Well, the thing is, if they had done that, there've been traces all over the place. These things are, even when you destroy them under controlled conditions, they leave residues.
Sure.
And wherever they would have destroyed them, I mean, there would have been telltale signs all over the place.
No, I agree. And the fact that, I mean, see, I've been telling people right from the beginning to not fasten on this weapons of mass destruction. Let's say they find out that in fact, Iraq does have some evidence of it. So what does that mean? The war is okay? There was a United Nations resolution here. The majority of countries that are oversee international law said no to the United States. It wasn't just France. It was 11 countries on the 15-member Security Council. The United States acted like a rogue nation. It is unjustifiably, illegally occupying a foreign country, which it illegally invaded and has now killed and maimed 10,000 civilians, made perhaps 500 of our troops suffer the same fate, and threw this country into chaos. But they don't care, because they were bound and determined to invade and occupy Iraq, and they wanted no one to say no. And so these Nazis inside of the Bush government are furious that anyone dared to contradict them. And it's always the night of the long knives for these folks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think the international community is going to do if they don't come up with any evidence? I mean,
I don't know. But see, the thing is, if they find, remember Colin Powell Corleone, he said that there was 100 to 500 tons of this stuff.
Yeah.
If they find 3 ounces, they're going to say, "See, we were right all along. They had them."
I don't think it's going to fly.
I hope not. Thank you, David. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thanks for joining us at 1-800-TALK-YES. 1-800-825-5937. Robert Scheer, S-C-H-E-E-R. You can find this at commondreams.org. He wrote this on Tuesday in the Los Angeles Times. Did Bush deceive us in his rush to war? And what did they say? Well, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. I can't, yeah, you, the threats that Saddam posed to the United States are nowhere to be seen. Cheer says, now that the war has been won, is it permissible to suggest that our emperor has no clothes? I'm not referring to his abysmal stewardship of the economy, but rather the fig leaf war he donned to cover up his glaring domestic failures. President Bush went to war with Hitler's Germany and found another Afghanistan instead. After comparing the threat of Hussein to that of the Fuhrer, it was odd to find upon our arrival a tottering regime squatting on a demoralized third world populace. Now the pressure is on for Bush to find or plant those alleged weapons of mass destruction fast or stand exposed as a bullying fraud. Well,
Robert,
I like that.
Cheer writes good.
Yeah, bullying fraud. Things. That's what we have become under George W. Bush. Thank you. And that's why I'm ashamed that I live in the same country as George W. Bush. I'm ashamed I live in the same universe. Anyways, Robert Cheer in the Los Angeles Times says our vaunted intelligence forces knew well from our overhead flights and the reports of UN inspectors freely surveying the country that Iraq had been reduced by two decades of wars, sanctions, and arms inspections to a paper tiger. But that didn't keep the current administration from depicting Baghdad as a seat of evil, so powerful it might soon block the very sun from shining. Yeah, I do like this writing.
Yeah, he's good.
And while Emperor Bush piled on the fire and brimstone rhetoric, his bespectacled vizier for defense, I'll just leave it at that, presented a Mad Hatter laundry list of Iraq's alleged weapons collection, as long and specific as it was phony and circumstantial.
Yeah.
I like that. A Mad Hatter laundry list. So we're in the world of the mass lie. Insane people rule the world. And in Iraq as well. But, I mean, to think that that psychopathology of power and wealth isn't the same pathogen operating out of Washington really means you've been watching too much CNN or Foxhole News. Now, Robert Cheer finally, well, he's got a lot of it. He says, having taken over the country, we now know with a great deal of certainty that if chemical or biological weapons existed there, they were not deployed within the Iraqi military in a manner that threatened the U.S. or anyone else. Hey, does any conservative have any refutation of this? Some guy said, well, what about the chemical suits? I go,
well, because we sent them chemicals. Yeah, we probably sent them suits along with it.
Yeah, I mean, I got this. You're going to invade this country illegally. You're going to create the chaos that's there, allow the destruction of some of the history of the world, the most important history about the origins of civilization to be trashed while our troops guard oil ministries, you know, as if to give proof of what this was all about. And you say, well, they had chemical suits. That's what, this is what allows it. Now, Bill O'Reilly, talk about fascists.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
He has called Robert Cheer a traitor and an anti-American.
Oh, well, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
But think how dangerous this is, Jolene. And think about then when you hear about the Dixie Chicks, these young women in their 20s getting threats, death threats from grown men, angry right-wing men that call their houses and leave threats that they're going to be killed and raped.
Well,
this is the mentality of the core Bush supporter.
Psycho.
They are psychos. Let's go to Dave in Silver. I can never say that. Silverdale.
Oh,
Silverdale, Washington. Yeah, there you go. Hi, Dave. You're on the air with Peter Werby and Jolene Jordan. Hi.
Hey, Peter.
Hi.
Going along with what you're saying about Robert Cheer, the fascist O'Reilly instructed his fascist letter brigade to write letters to the Los Angeles Times to try to get rid of Robert Cheer.
That's right.
And the Nation magazine's website has a kind of an action thing where you can write letters to media outlets to request that they pick up Robert Cheer.
Oh, that's good. Yeah,
I wrote a letter to the local papers today. I encourage people to do the same because we need to stand behind people like Robert Cheer, the Dixie Chicks, people who are willing to speak up, speak the truth.
You know, Dave, think about this, that we actually have to support people that speak their mind rather than that just being conceived of as a natural right of being free people protected by a document that says we have that right. We actually have to go to extraordinary steps in order to protect free speech. And this comes from who? The people that wrap themselves in the flag, the people that are always burbling about the Constitution and the Founding Fathers. It doesn't make a bit of sense, does it?
Well, no. And if you go back beyond the Constitution of the Bill of Rights, read Rousseau, de Tocqueville, read any of the foundational thought of democracy, and it really demands of us as participants that we do think, that we do critically examine what's going on. And the one thing we can't do if we want freedom is to just basically jump in line and lockstep. And that is that is you correctly, and I applaud you for this, because you consistently point out that that is fascism.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks,
hey, Peter,
for joining us at 1-800-TALK. Yes, yeah, Julie.
The San Francisco Chronicle reporter who was suspended. Did you see this?
No.
Speaking of reporters, after being arrested at a rally opposed to the U.S. invasion of Iraq, it says, lost his job on Wednesday.
Oh, man.
It was Henry Knorr, 57 years old. He was among the more than 1,300 people arrested for blocking public streets the morning after the Iraq War started. So he's out.
Yeah, yeah. That's Ain't That America with George Bush at the head. Now, here's a George W. Bush resume. This is what he would submit if he was looking for a job. No way in the world am I ever going to finish this. It's at buzzflash.com. It's also on my website, peterwerbe.com, P-E-T-E-R-W-E-R-B-E.com. Here's past work experience. Ran for Congress and lost. Produced a Hollywood slasher B-movie. Did you? I don't know
what that is. I was questioning
this.
Does anyone know this?
Yeah. Call TalkYes at yahoo.com or 1-800-TALK-YES. Bought an oil company but couldn't find any oil in Texas. Company went bankrupt shortly after I sold all my stock. This is in the first person. Bought the Texas Ranger baseball team in a sweetheart deal that took land using taxpayer money. Biggest move, traded Sammy Sosa to the Chicago White Sox.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a really good one. Yeah. One of the worst things he ever did.
Oh, with father's help, and his name was elected governor of Texas. Accomplishments: changed pollution laws for power and oil companies and made Texas the most polluted state in the union, replaced Los Angeles with Houston as the most smog-ridden city in America, cut taxes and bankrupted the Texas government to the tunes of billions in borrowed money. Be alert for what's going on now, folks. Set record for most executions by any governor in American history. This is still Bush's resume. Became president after losing the popular vote by over 500,000 with the help of my father's appointees to the Supreme Court. Now, accomplishments as president: attacked and took over two countries, spent the surplus and bankrupted the treasury, shattered record for biggest annual deficit in history, set economic record for most private bankruptcies in any 12-month period, set all-time record for biggest drop in the history of the stock market, first president in decades to execute a federal prisoner. I like this one. First president in U.S. history to enter office with a criminal record.
Hey! Really, the first one?
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm.
DUI. DUI.
Or DW, depending on the state you're in.
Yeah, how many of you? Never mind.
Me?
Yeah. First year in office, set all-time record for most days on vacation by any president in U.S. history. After the entire month of August off for vacation, presided over the worst security failure in U.S. history, September 11th.
Yeah.
Set record for most campaign fundraising trips than any other president in the U.S. I mean, at some point, conservatives, call 1-800-TALK-YES and say, do you think this is all a lie or is it just okay?
He did it all.
Yeah.
And, I mean, at least he's consistent.
In my first 2 years in office, over 2 million Americans lost their jobs. Cut unemployment benefits for more out-of-work Americans than any president in U.S. history. Set the all-time record for most foreclosures in a 12-month period. Appointed more convicted criminals to administration positions, than any president in U.S. history. Set the record for least amount of press conferences than any president since the advent of television.
Oh, my gosh.
This is amazing. Signed more laws and executive orders amending the Constitution than any president in U.S. history. Now, I don't know about that one. I don't think
he's a busy one.
Yeah, I don't know if you can do that, though. President presided over the biggest energy crisis in U.S. history and refused to intervene when corruption was revealed. Remember Enron, folks? Now, we forgot all about that, along with Monica Lewinsky.
Oh, she's back, though. She's hosting
Let me see. Bill show. Has, this is the Bush slasher movie. Let me see if I can find this. This is
B movie that he produced, was it?
Yeah. Well, I guess that's coming up.
Okay.
Bush, Hollywood, and The Hitcher. He rails against the pervasiveness of violence in Hollywood. Wow. That's too much reading today for me. He's served for a decade on the board of a company that financed more than two dozen R-rated movies, including one in which a hitchhiker rips a young woman's body in two. This is Bush.
My gosh.
His presidential campaign said Thursday that Bush played no role in Silver Screen Management Company's decision to finance the horror suspense film, The Hitcher.
I've seen that movie.
Really?
Yes.
So that was G.W. Bush. So the man has produced, I mean, I didn't have anything to do with it. One thing, you remember, this was back in the Nixon era, you got to have plausible deniability.
Yeah.
So he joined this board of directors. Oh, it was a one-time Yale fraternity brother. Should have known. Peter Werby, Jalene Jordan, we'll be right back. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Niagara Falls, Raymond. Nature's wonderful. But imagine if nature stopped working. Like when you're constipated.
Maureen.
Good thing you use Phillips Milk of Magnesia. It helps your body work more like nature intended. Phillips relieves constipation comfortably without cramps because Phillips has no harsh stimulants like other overnight laxatives. Right, Raymond?
Yes, Maureen.
So you feel like your natural self.
Naturally.
Phillips, the comfortable way. Also try new, great-tasting French vanilla.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man. I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
When we bought this house, I really loved all the open space nearby.
Me too.
Too bad our real estate agent never mentioned what they had planned for that space.
Four! Yeah, too bad.
Want to find the right real estate agent for you? Come to LendingTree.com. We'll personally match you with a LendingTree certified real estate agent, provide access to home listings, even a $1,000 gift card. Call 1-800-555-TREE or click on LendingTree.com. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions may apply. See website for details.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the chart.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Steffen should be on all day, 24/7. Yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by good will and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with Anna?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, there. This is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Yeah.
Hello, this is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Jay Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it. Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
Evil man.
Oh, 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 oh. Great deceivers. Whoa.
Great deceivers.
Oh, 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 oh. Great deceivers. Whoa.
They said they had compassion. They gave you a ration. The Bill of Rights, their passion. Your check, they be cashing. Ha ha! They fooled you again. It's a faith-based disgrace they got in place. Woo-hoo. And the planet, they're destroying it. Well, I hope you're enjoying it.
Ha ha! Oh, 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 oh. Great deceivers.
Daring to connect the dots. It's the Peter Werby Show. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937.
The Great Deceivers. They are in the White House. Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan are right here with you on the IE America Radio Network.
Hear me singing along?
No.
Okay, good. That's what I thought you were laughing at.
No.
I was jamming to The Great Deceiver.
Kind of doing somewhat of a dance in our engineering room. It's got a nice beat to it.
It does.
I don't know whether to end the show with this kind of obscure... I thought that this was interesting, though, because remember I was talking earlier about how Bush is presiding over the complete racketization of this system, right?
Of the world.
Of the world, yeah. Well, this is from Michael in Denver, Colorado, and he wrote into calltalkyes@yahoo.com, and he says, of course, oil is a huge factor for the Bush administration to wage this illegal war, but there are other interests here. Iraq is a civilized country living in a Stone Age infrastructure. For corporations, this means profits. Everything from energy companies to mobile phone companies. Case in point, Congressman Daryl Issa, Republican of California, is pressing Congress to favor, now forget about what this means, I don't know for sure, CDMA over GSM for mobile phone service protocol in the U.S.-funded reconstruction plans. Now, what the hell is that all about? Well, it turns out that GSM is the main protocol used by all the countries surrounding Iraq and all the countries in Europe, but CDMA is a standard that a San Diego-based Qualcomm company is pushing to replace this GSM. So you know what I mean? Even in the littlest bits, it's nothing but a racket.
And it's never ending.
Yes. But the show ends every once in a while. The ball to be picked up, sort of tag team as we try to take back America. Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan, thank man. We had the whole engineering staff in there today. I take too long to name them all. But thanks, folks. I really appreciate it. And we'll be back tomorrow. Curtis Ellis, entertainment editor, will be with us.
He's in Africa.
In Africa, and he's calling us?
Yes.
Wow. See you tomorrow.
You've been listening to The Peter Werby Show on the IE America Radio Network, copyright 2003.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. If you've been suffering from withdrawal because you can't find The Malloy Show, I've got the cure. Just remember this phrase, MM 9 p.m. That's right. Mike Malloy can now be heard weeknights from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. So turn off the reruns on TV and tune in to Mike for your